about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. All right, kids, listen up. For those of you that are new to this, these are the rules. No fighting. No arguing. Okay. One. Two. Did I say three?
No.
Well, I'm saying it now. Three.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
This Saturday night.
Hey, is it totally obvious that I'm not wearing underwear? Because it should be.
Baja, 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 vagina. Eh, baja, baja, vagina. Baja, baja, vagina. Baja, 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 vagina. Oh.
I can't unhear it. I can't unhear it.
Well, 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 well. Nope, it's too many wells. I'm gonna re-enter.
You done?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
But is it gluten-free?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Like a monkey.
Roll another one.
Squirt some goo.
Just like.
Gun.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, I think that message got through.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Okay, that was kind of hot.
Chick-fil-A.
Just like the other one.
Is anyone else sick of this asshole?
This one seems to be about to end.
I am Fred Astaire.
I don't have another cent.
Barack Obama, the son of a black man from Kenya and a white man from Kansas.
I just need some babes, man.
You're talking about right now.
I'm just passing on down.
And now.
Hey, who is that?
Oh, I want to say Chloe? Ellie?
Allie. No, it's Allie.
There are a million young women around here, and they all look exactly the same to me.
You big lady racist.
Our feature presentation.
I love Veep so much.
Veep is the best show on TV.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It is the 17th of April. What's going on, you guys? Kevin, you got to pay your taxes, dude.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. It's the 17th already. You got to start thinking about it, at least.
I was the guy that they showed on the news every year for many years, driving down to the post office at 11:45 p.m.
With the news crews out there, like, last-minute people.
Hey,
look at these losers.
Donuts. These people should have thought of this earlier.
They don't really even do that anymore. I don't even know. I mean, are the post office even still late?
Yeah,
open late
ones.
Anymore?
Yeah.
They still do it?
It's sad I know that, but there are certain ones, yes.
I just feel like so many people can file online now that it just seems like it's kind of taken away that party. Those people that you used to look forward to seeing once a year out in the parking lot.
So. I wouldn't call it a party, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it is Friday morning. We do have a big show today. Excited to tell you about that. But first, here is one of the most bizarre Amber Alert stories that I have ever heard. And I have to confess, I think the Amber Alert was a great idea. For folks who don't know, this is the notification that the media put out that's coordinated with police departments to let the public know that there's a child missing. And it's a great idea, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it has worked many times. We've seen it be effective. But it happens so often that I kind of don't even read them anymore. Do you guys, when you get those notices on your phone?
I do. Actually.
Really? Because I just look at it and go, oh, it's another Amber Alert that can't possibly affect me. And I just don't even, I mean, it's not working. If I were to see that kid, I wouldn't have read the thing because, you know, it just happens. It seems like three times a week sometimes it seems like you get Amber Alerts.
Yeah, I hear it. It might be just because I'm coming from a different position of being a father. And if something happened, I would want everybody to pay attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, here's a story of a guy near where I live in Renton, Washington. He is sitting there eating his breakfast. He's checking his Facebook. And all of a sudden, he sees an Amber Alert on this kid who looks just like the kid that his sister had dropped off at his house the night before and said, hey, this is my boyfriend's son. Would you look after him because we're going out of town? And the guy said, yeah. And the kid is, how old is the kid? I want to say he's 2 years old.
What?
Delightful little boy named Ronnie Tran. And the brother said, yeah, no problem. I'm happy to look after the kid. So he's having breakfast, reading the Facebook, and he sees the Amber Alert. And he says, this kid looks just like the kid upstairs asleep in my house. What the hell is going on here? So they dig around, do a little research, and they find out, indeed, they've got the child that the Amber Alert has been issued for in their home.
What?
So then what do you do? Because the police
they call the police.
I know, but they would probably, you know, come in.
Yeah, what do you say? It's my sister-in-law, and she's out of town now.
I swear someone dropped him off and then told me to watch him.
I mean, if you're this guy, that's exactly what you do is call the police, right? I mean, you've got to.
You've got to drop him off at a hotel, at a hospital.
At a Walmart.
At a hospital. I saw him.
So the story is still being pieced together, but what it looks like happened, and the police really have, they say that they are puzzled by this, and it's complicated, and they've got to figure it out. What it looks like has happened is that the man's sister and their grandmother, a 65-year-old woman, had kidnapped the boy and his mother. They had gone to the mom's house, the 40-year-old mom's house, and they stun-gunned the mom, then tied her up with plastic tie wraps, and then took the boy and the mother to a home, and that is where the mother was tied up in a cupboard in the garage, and that's when the daughter took the boy to her brother's house and dropped him off. And then she hit the road. She's on the run.
That's crazy. The brother had no idea all of this backstory.
He's got a whacked out family.
No kidding.
He has a whacked out family. And we still don't, again, they're still looking into this. We still don't know why the grandmother abducted her own daughter and grandson and what the plan was. And there's so many questions here. But I can't stop thinking about what it must have been like for this man to see an Amber Alert in his Facebook page and then realize he had the kid.
That kid's in my house. What do I do?
So anyway, how's that for a strange way to start
Amber
your morning?
Was coming from inside his house.
That's right. How often do you hear that?
Crazy. Boom.
That is crazy.
I hate that story so much.
There's your new forget it. It follows, man. There's your new horror movie right there.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeat show, shall we?
You can't make me do stuff. You're not the boss of me.
We have the movie beat because it is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have tickets to the Clippers playoff game. I think this is game two we have tickets for.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
I think
you're right.
You're making me doubt it.
No, I think you're right.
You fell asleep at work. We're going to need to hear from you, and I'm sure there are plenty of you that, especially that are up this early, that fall asleep at work.
Didn't Dave used to fall asleep a lot when he was our phone screener?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
All the time. He would fall asleep driving. I mean, he had a really pretty big issue, but not anymore. We're going to talk to Ryan Getzlaff.
Great game last night. Chip, how you feeling about your Ducks?
Woo! I love that she gets on her tiptoes just to do that.
Just to reach Kevin's microphone.
No, she has to
that's nowhere near it.
Tiptoes and then yell to reach the microphone. We were just talking about the best show on TV, Veep. We have Tim Simons in the studio who plays Jonah.
Oh, he's so good.
Love that. Today we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about the penis measuring, or whatever that is, monitoring.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. That's
no,
awesome.
We're not doing that. I'm just kidding. Because I said that yesterday. It was way wrong. And Wendy Cummings will be here. How about that?
Love her so much.
She's going to be here on the show. We'll take a break. We will come back with our Ralph Showbiz beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
That song doesn't make anyone want to get out of bed, right? Doesn't that just put you right back to sleep if you heard like that song if you were still in bed?
Float at a cloud.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start your day with like some Slipknot, some Slayer.
We should play Slayer full time because that gets people up.
Wake up! Exactly. That's the song.
Get out of bed.
That should be required to be on when you wake up.
Well, we'll just play this.
The sick beat. Now they're up.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph Garman, time for the first look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. And then, by the way, we're going to talk about the Star Wars trailer yesterday. Got that coming up.
Now Star Wars music begins.
Okay. All right.
Down!
I just never heard it isolated to just that note.
The first note. Wait, with the whole thing?
No.
I don't have that kind of time.
Not. Good.
Thought of you yesterday, Kevin, when I heard Ben and Jerry announce their burrito. Did you hear about the burrito?
I did not hear this, no.
The burrito? Because it's cold, so it's burrito. The burrito.
Yeah.
Is this coming through? Is this on?
Yeah.
Burr. When you're cold, you go burr. This is the burrito.
Right.
It's the burrito.
Right.
Ben and Jerry's.
You can keep saying that. But are there any more details?
Two scoops of ice cream,
uh-huh,
topped with chocolate cookie crumbles.
I'm in.
And a fudge drizzle.
Excellent.
All wrapped up in a soft, chewy waffle cone.
Need it?
Looks like a burrito.
Need it now?
You know what they're calling it?
Burrito.
That's what they're calling it, the burrito. It's in stores on Monday. So line up now, Kevin.
Now, is the tie-in for 420, Ralph?
Yes. Well, not the tie. It just happens to be 420.
Oh, it just happens to be. That's not what they're doing.
Not okay. Doing it, but this is a new product that they will be debuting on Monday. So please enjoy.
What are they calling it?
I don't think I have to get in line, though.
Yeah, you do.
Now.
Your people will be out there waiting for the burrito.
We had a Chick-fil-A open in a Seattle suburb recently, and there were people camped out for days to be the first in line to go to Chick-fil-A.
How I feel about people in first in line people. You know how I feel about them. We've talked about this in the air before.
How do you feel about people who are first in line?
I hate the first in line people.
Because
there's no point in it.
Because they're last in life.
That Chick-fil-A will be open.
Right.
Probably for 25 years.
You can go there anytime and get yourself a chicken sandwich. There's no need to be in line to be first at a Chick-fil-A sandwich place ever.
I agree, but how is second place any better? They're all terrible
better.
People. All of those people are ridiculous. They do nothing but waste time. Seriously. If you're mad at the first person in line...
I'm not mad at the first person in line. I'm mad at the people who get in line to be first about something.
Got it.
You really thought I was only angry at the first guy in the line?
That's what it sounded like.
That the rest of the people in line are fine with them.
The first guy in line.
You told the third guy I loved. I wanted to hug the third guy, but the first guy was the guy I had the problem with.
Yeah.
That's what you thought I was saying.
Yes, and that was flawed, so I was calling you on it. Because it doesn't make sense.
What number Chick-fil-A grand opening this is for you?
This is number 68.
Would you be willing, if it came down to it, to give me your wristband?
It can't be done.
It can't be done.
I like that he says if it came down to it, like that's a possibility.
Right.
Fourth guy. No problem. The fourth guy.
Everybody in line is good, but first.
First was the guy I had a problem with. Okay.
I thought you said first guy in line.
I meant the people who line up to be first.
All right.
At anything that you don't need to be first at. Which is everything, by the way. I can't think of anything. Unless it's a limited number. Unless there's one thing they're giving away.
Yeah, limited number, or it's going to close the same day or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but people line up for the movie, the first day of the movies, or
stop it.
We did a phone-in topic. We said, what's the dumbest thing you ever lined up for? We got a lot of people who were dumb.
Yeah. And they could look back on it now for the most part and go, yeah, that was stupid.
One thing I can see, like concert tickets, for example, there's a finite number of those.
Right.
And when you purchase them, that has an effect on how good your seats are towards the stage.
Correct, yes.
So that dynamic all makes sense to me. Everything else?
Again, please.
So don't line up for the burrito.
Don't line up for the burrito. No. All right. How about this? This is the best thing. This Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, they must be so happy. One of the Real Housewives went on a bender yesterday at the Beverly Hills Hotel at the Polo Lounge. And she got so hammered that they cut her off after midnight. And they asked her to move on. And she did appreciate it. And she got very angry and asked, wait for it. Anybody?
Don't you know who I am?
Thank you for playing, Allie Mack.
It's always my favorite.
Love it.
She then locked herself in the bathroom.
Excellent.
Caused a major stink. The police had to be called to drag her out of the bathroom. And that's when she started kicking a police officer.
Oh, no.
Wow.
She was arrested and then released with a citation. Kim Richards, who, by the way, was a child actress.
I remember
her from back in the day. Escape from Witch Mountain. You ever see Escape from Witch Mountain?
The best.
I don't remember that.
She and her brother are on the run because...
Disney?
Aliens on a mountain or something?
You would love it. They were taken to this place, and then they had a huge ice cream counter, and that's how they were so happy.
Did they serve a burrito?
They
burrito.
Had so much ice cream at any time,
Kevin. Didn't they do a remake of that movie with The Rock a couple years ago?
They did, exactly, Bean. Well done. TV news. Oh, how could they do this? They always take the best shows and pull them off.
Now what?
Sex Box has been canceled.
What? I was going to watch that one day, maybe, if there was nothing else on.
Sexbox. He canceled Sexbox.
How did that not make it?
I don't know. It's a great show about people went inside a box and had sex.
This was created by the same guy who came up with The Wire, right?
I don't believe there was the same creator.
I thought that was the same
maybe,
pedigree.
Maybe the, one of the writers.
Okay.
Didn't they then come out and like sit on a couch and go through therapy or something?
That's what they would do, yes.
Right?
They would talk to experts after going into the before and after going into the sex box, and those relationship counselors would help them through their problems pre and post sex box.
Hmm. Every, why that one didn't work out?
Every part of that show is terrible.
But they would go into a box and have sex,
right?
That you never got to see or hear,
right?
It was soundproof and you couldn't hear anything or see anything.
How did that not make it
in the sex box? Yeah, apparently it was not as nearly as titillating as perhaps they hoped it would be, and has been pulled off the Wii TV network after just 5 of the 9 episodes have aired. Ratings for the show? Well, they got about 375,000 viewers.
And that's just accidental viewing, right? It's just people leave their TV on or whatever?
People just tuned in early because they were going to watch an Oprah special afterwards.
Yeah.
Wow.
The network originally plugged the show as breaking new ground. It did, in terms of getting the fewest number of people to watch. 375,000 people. I think that many people saw me pull into the parking lot this morning.
Really?
Yeah. There's that many people waiting for the bus outside the studios here. I'm out of time already. Ah, I haven't even gotten to ESPN reporter Britt McHenry.
Yeah.
My new favorite.
It's pretty strong.
She's a sweetheart. She's precious. She always give her a big hug. Today's celebrity birthdays, wrestler, actor, Roddy Rowdy Piper. That's right. Came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum. Guess what? I'm all out of bubble gum!
Yeah! Kids love it.
For the greatest lines in motion picture history. 61 years old today. Sean Bean, very talented actor. He's 56. Maynard, he's 51. Jennifer Garner, she turns 43 today. Victoria Beckham is 41. And actress Rooney Mara celebrates her 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:09. I believe this was a bit of a surprise.
What was the surprise?
Yeah, it was.
The silence. Trailer for Star Wars.
Oh.
You weren't expecting it yesterday.
Correct.
Just the music at the beginning of the trailer, right after the Lucasfilm logo comes up. This was unveiled at an event in Anaheim, California yesterday. J.J. Abrams and most of the cast were there answering questions, talking about the movie. Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, is the movie that's coming out Christmas time this year. And the trailer just... Well, Ali, you said yesterday you got all the feels.
Every feel that's possible and some I didn't know I had.
Every feel that's possible.
Yes.
And Kevin, emotion. You came in and said...
I mean feelings, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You came in yesterday, this morning, Kevin, and said, it's so great to be put back into this world.
Yeah, it was. It was cool.
Yeah.
It's a great trailer. And we want to talk about it, a couple of things, obviously, that are obvious in the trailer. But we thought it might be fun because we know how many hardcore Star Wars fans there are. I bet there's stuff, there's things in this trailer that we didn't notice that are going to be significant in the movie that there are Star Wars fans who just freaked out over, and we want to hear from you. If there's something in the trailer that we should know about but probably don't, please call us right now at 1-800-520-1067.
Or maybe you were down at Star Wars Celebration yesterday and you had a chance to listen to JJ and the cast talk about the trailer. Maybe they gave you some insight.
Ralph, yeah, that would be great.
Ralph, you walked in and said something that I hadn't caught, which is not surprising. But
well, if you listen to Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, his voiceover talking about the Force in his family, there's something will very jarring will catch your attention.
The Force is strong in my family. My father has it.
Huh?
Has!
What?
Has!
Whoa,
has,
whoa, whoa. My father has
isn't his father
present tense.
Super dead?
Well, in the trailer, you see him holding the charred, ancient remains of the Darth Vader helmet, as he's referring to his father, but he very clearly there says his father has the Force within
but
him.
But we saw Darth Vader die in Return of the Jedi.
But is this like when they die and then go...
But did we also see them visit him at the end of that film, where they're looking
yes, that's true,
proud the ghost, of him, yeah. Both Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker and Yoda looking very proud of his accomplishments.
That doesn't count as present tense, though.
Yeah.
That person is still past, even though they show up in a...
But they're alive in the Force,
not when they
right?
have the Force, Bean.
And let's all point out, who is he talking to?
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay.
All right. So my father, the Force is strong in our family. My father has it. Let's go on.
My father has it. I have it.
You know that?
My sister has it.
Princess Leia.
Okay.
You have that power too.
Okay.
You.
All right.
Who's you?
His son and or daughter.
Or Leia's daughter. Or son?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possible, right. I guess. I mean, look, this is 30 years later, so it's likely that they have families.
Right.
Right? So, yes. Okay. So
or
we're
gonna... the guy who washes his land speeder. This guy who details his land speeder for him
true.
Once a week could also have the Force.
So is
or is the guy who delivers his blue milk on Tatooine? blue milk delivery man?
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
We need to know now.
So a couple
I have all the feels.
A couple of things that we will go to your calls here in a couple seconds, too, if you have something you want to add on this at 1-800-520-1067. A couple things that were revealed yesterday. J.J. Abrams, for instance, from the stage at the Star Wars Celebration, Ralph, said that the shooter location, the desert scene that you see in the beginning, is not the Skywalker ancestral home of Tatooine, as many believed. It is actually a planet called Jakku, J-A-K-K-U.
Yeah, sure.
Do we know something about Jakku, or is this new to us?
Sure, Jakku.
All right.
We don't know.
We also see Daisy Ridley's character, Rey, who meets up with a stormtrooper, Finn, who we saw in the first teaser trailer, played by John Boyega. We see them
right.
with the adventure beginning there.
Yes. Take my hand.
Take my hand, right. We don't see the faces of Luke and Leia.
Oh, no, we don't.
But we do see them both in the trailer. Am I right about that?
It does possibly look like her hand.
There is the handing off of a lightsaber at one point, which seems to be Luke to Leia.
Because he's got he's got the robot hand.
As far as we know. Yeah, exactly.
Not the wooden hand, Kevin. It's a robot hand.
And he also puts his robot hand on the shoulder of someone else.
Or...
in a cloak.
Is Luke handing that authentic old lightsaber, the passing of the torch, to Princess Leia, Leia's daughter, who is going to be... who you just mentioned.
You're so excited.
You have no idea.
I mean, I was excited, but I didn't... This is weird.
She's mental.
Yeah.
She's a mental case.
And for Ralph to say that, that's...
Yes, you're mental. She cried when she saw the trailer.
She cried. What point did you cry at?
At the end?
When Han Solo said, "Chewie, we're home." And in Shriwook, I believe, he just responded, "I know."
Was that the King of Mexico dude?
That was
the King of Chewbacca. I thought it was.
Stop the horrible Chewbacca.
I can't believe you guys didn't tear up at that. That was,
you know, because we're not mentally ill.
It was.
Oh my God! No, I can't imagine that. I bet people calling cried like a baby.
Well,
at
they're
that
wrong.
Point. No, they are not.
It's exciting. It's fun to see this movie coming back and him playing that role again. But to cry,
right.
You need medication.
Let's go to Matt in Pico Rivera. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
One thing I noticed that I thought was interesting,
yes.
As everybody knows, in the Empire Strikes Back,
yes.
Darth Vader cuts off Luke's hand.
Right. Uh-huh.
But that lightsaber looked exactly like Luke / Anakin's that he was handing over.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Old
the
school.
Old one.
Yes. Oh, that's what I said. The old school, authentic, his old
that
lightsaber.
That was lost, right?
Well, no.
It fell down in Bespin.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought that was gone with the hand.
All right, let me ask you, Matt. At any point in this trailer, did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I did get chills at the end at the part Ellie's talking about.
Yeah, goosebumps. Chills. I'll give you chills.
I got goosebumps. How about goosebumps?
This part,
except No.
Matt, what do you make of the "My father has it" versus "had it" in the Luke speech?
You know, you read all the damn rumors online, and yes, I just don't know what to believe and not to believe at this point.
I know, me too.
There's just too many rumors about them finding Luke's cut-off hand,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And that the Emperor's going to come back, and things like that.
Ralph, okay. How dare you mock other what? People for being excited about sci-fi?
Batman's laughing in the corner right
don't
now.
Give me information. Don't say, well, there's a lot of things that could be. We all know there could be things.
call Matt, us up with what could be.
You keep doing what you're doing, Matt. Thank you so much for calling. Matt. We appreciate it. All right, let's talk to Carlos real quick. He's in Whittier. He's on line three.
What if Luke gets a haircut?
Ralph, he's one of the guys you were talking about who maybe was there yesterday and might be able to shed some light on something we don't even know from the trailer.
That's
Hi, Carlos. Welcome, sir.
Facts.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Carlos, bring me facts.
Okay, so there were talks, and somebody actually didn't mention that there could be a possible cloning and maybe a cloning of Luke Skywalker from his hand.
Interesting.
There, yeah, there was some talks about that. There was like they're making jokes about it on the panels for one of them.
So it's not his son; it's a clone.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. Well, you know, cloning plays a big role in the Star Wars mythos.
Right.
The Clone Wars, of course, a big part of that. And all the original Stormtroopers, also all clones.
Carlos, did you cry at any point?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right.
Oh, God bless
he's
you.
Just saying
I know
that.
It.
You know, he's just saying
the clones
that.
Yes.
Thank you. Ali's got a boyfriend, and his name is Carlos. Actor Tim Simons from the TV show Veep joins us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Also, Ryan Getzlaf from the Anaheim Ducks up 1-0 in their playoff series against Winnipeg. We'll talk to Ryan later on. And we're going to talk to one of our favorite crazies, Linda Polly, out in Maine.
How dare you?
Sorry, Kevin's future wife, Linda Polly, out in Maine in about 15 minutes or so right here in KROQ. First, though, it is Friday morning. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
This weekend, we get to see Kevin's family in the wild. The Monkey Kingdom. Monkey Kingdom! There are a bunch of monkeys! Disney does a great job with these films. This is a nature documentary that has a narrative through line that has little characters in it, and they've got what the characters are thinking as they traipse around. So it's a
like
documentary.
They used to do with that Meerkat TV show.
Right.
I need a
Meerkat
monkey.
Meerkat Manor. You do need a monkey.
I do.
Nature documentary follows a newborn monkey and its mother as they struggle to survive within the social hierarchy of monkeydom. And they got to leave their home and find a new home, and it's all... Oh, I cried. I cried when I saw the trailer. Especially the part where Han Solo comes out at the end. Tina Fey stars in Monkey Kingdom. Here's a little piece of Monkey Kingdom.
His name is Kumar. 15 pounds of hunky monkey.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, that's not a horror movie, for God's sakes. Looks adorable. The kids will love it. They're doing a special thing down at the El Capitan, by the way, which is the big classic theater that Disney owns there on Hollywood Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if you go to, I don't know, the first week of shows, or I think it's maybe first week or first couple days, check the El Capitan website for more information. But they bring out the actual monkeys for the kids and show them, do like a little live animal show as well. So,
plus you get free food from Chick-fil-A for a year.
No, that's not the case at all.
Oh.
Child 44. Tom Hardy, Gary Oldman, Naomi Papas. Joel Kinnaman, what a cast. This is takes place in Stalin-era Soviet Union about a disgraced member of the military police who investigates a nasty series of child murders. Good times.
Sounds fun.
Depressing Stalin-era Russia and child murder. Hey, is there any songs or dancing in this one? Is this a musical? Here's a clip from the trailer of Child 44.
You have to be quiet. There is no murder in this country.
Someone has slaughtered my son! And you do nothing!
The killer is still out there.
I have to find him.
I'm coming with you.
Another child could die any moment.
I will stop him.
Ages 9 to 14. 43, you know.
44. My grandson was murdered too.
44. Everybody must die.
You're all going to die tonight.
Stop it. Also coming out this weekend, Beyond the Reach. This is the story of a rich corporate executive and his poor young guide in the dangerous game they play on a hunting trip in the Mojave Desert. You've seen this before. Rich man against poor man. Murder on the line. Money. Greed. It all takes its toll, man. You don't know. Here's a scene where the guy, Jeremy Irvine, tells Michael Douglas that he will not be framed.
You can't frame me for this. I mean, there'll be an investigation. You know that.
Nobody cares about this man. Nobody's going to miss him. But you bring this body back,
They put it on me. They could put it on you. 50-50, Ben. Do you like those odds?
Ah. Then he gives him a suit, shrinks him down the size of an ant. Crazy. True story. Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill in a dramatic role. He plays a New York Times reporter who meets an accused killer played by James Franco who has taken on his identity. And while trying to investigate the reasoning behind this, it becomes a bizarre game of cat and mouse. Looks like a fascinating story. Here's a scene where Jonah Hill, playing reporter Mike Finkel, gets a call telling him that this psycho has been using his name. Here's Jonah Hill looking into it.
I wanted to get your side on the Christian Longo story.
Who?
Christian Longo, the child killer. He murdered his entire family out here in Newport. You must know about him. They finally took him down in Cancun last week. You hadn't heard?
No. Why are you telling me this?
Because when they apprehended him, he said he was Mike Finkel of the New York Times. Hello?
Intriguing.
Then they meet inside, and he starts to interview him and find out more about him, and James Franco sort of seduces him, and it's very psychologically complex and looks really interesting. That comes out this weekend. And then Kevin will go see Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Yay!
Oh, because he's fat, see, and when he tries to slide across the floor, he just stops, and then he's got to, like, shimmy his ass across the floor. Ah, I'm so glad they're repeating that gag in this film, because it's just not a Paul Blart movie unless that happens. If they just put him on a Segway. What?
What did you say?
He is on a Segway. This movie has everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Kevin.
God damn it. A good movie.
Yeah, it's the return of Paul Blart.
This Kevin, time, refresh our memory. You liked the first movie a lot, right?
Oh, boy, did he.
Yes, I did. Okay. You go see this one?
Yep.
Okay.
In this film, Paul goes to Vegas for some sort of mall security guard convention.
Another one of those.
And then some guys try to steal money from the casino, and Paul Blart and his mall cop friends.
Take him down, man. Stop. You got to step up.
Room spinning. I'm just getting some woozy. Here's a scene where Paul Blart is doing a security checklist with his daughter.
Then I'm going exploring.
Hold up. You got your extra phone battery?
Yes.
Flashlight?
Always.
Hot pepper spray?
Check.
Pocket knife, keychain, window smasher?
I do.
Baby road flares?
Yes, I've got it all.
One more second here. There. I've set it to monitor so I can hear everything that's going on.
Oh, no way. I already feel like a SWAT unit.
Security is a mission, not an intermission.
F you.
Let us know, Kevin.
I will. Son of a bitch.
It's funny.
You're a horrible person.
What am I supposed to do?
Not go to Paul Blart 2.
You know that's why they keep making more, Kevin, is because people like you keep going.
Right. So you're to blame.
All right. Good.
Mini road flares? Is that hilarious to you? Are you rolling around right now?
Well, maybe that clip wasn't the best.
Sure, it's a mission, not an intermission? What does that even mean? It's not even a joke. It's barely even English.
The only reason we were able to access that clip is because the movie company chose that as being the best clip, as being representative of the film. That's the one they've put out there so far.
Not always the best choice.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I'm just sitting here trying to remember how long it's been, Kevin, since we started talking to the Paulies. Of course, we lost Gerald a few years ago, but his wife, Linda, is an internationally known psychic who channels spirits and music and voices from the other side, from the afterlife. She's particularly close with John Lennon, but she's heard from lots of famous people and not so famous people throughout the years, and she seems to be in daily contact with the past.
That's true.
And she's got a lot to say about a lot of things these days, our friend Linda Pauly, and I believe we've got her on the phone right now from her home in Ellsworth, Maine. Hi, Linda. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi. Pretty good, thank you. Great to talk to you again, and it's nice to meet Allie.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi. Pretty good, thanks. Good.
You've been listening. I know you streamed the show there in Maine. Have you been enjoying hearing Allie on the radio, Linda?
Definitely.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Hey, we got a couple things we wanted to talk to you about, and we always appreciate your time. First of all, I understand that you're super excited about Hillary Clinton running for president.
Definitely not.
Oh, he read that wrong?
Yeah.
What's the problem that the afterlife has with Mrs. Clinton?
Well, she's just bad news all around. That nobody wants her to get in. That very bad for the future of the world if she does.
Who have you talked to on the other side that's most outspoken against her?
God, the Father.
God, okay. God. So God is against, and you said that's because what? She's just too shady in God's opinion?
Right.
Okay, well, that's legitimate. I mean, if you hear that from God, I guess you got to take that seriously. Who else have you been hearing from on the other side lately? Have you heard from John Lennon lately?
Yeah, I hear from him once in a while, especially when I play music. Sometimes him and his band, John Lennon and friends, play along, you know, things like that. Once in a while, they make a few comments on something I'm doing and things like that.
And when you hear from the afterlife, Linda, is it just a thought that just pops in your head, or do you actually hear something in the room as if they were standing next to you?
It's telepathic, just in my head.
Just in your head.
Okay. All right. You had an interesting tweet the other day that we wanted to ask you about. You can follow Linda on Twitter, by the way, at her name, at Linda Pauley, P-O-L-L-E-Y. You had something to say about our recent trip to Las Vegas. What's that all about, Linda?
Right. Well, I was kind of concerned there. I'm glad you guys are all right. It seems like the demons are not too happy with you guys getting in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and they tried to mess things up there by creating the big dust storm.
You said demons.
Right.
Are upset that that happened.
Right.
Okay. Why do they care?
Well, because you're some of God's favorite people.
And thank you.
Help save the world, you know, so many times years ago. And everybody in the afterlife loves you guys, and they don't like it one bit. So they try to do anything they can to stop you.
Okay, so this is nothing for us to be concerned about. It's good news for us that the demons are against what we're doing.
Yeah, we should like that. That means we're doing the right thing, right?
It's a badge of honor if the demons are against us. By the way, you're so right, Linda, about that dust storm that you referenced. We all saw that as we were taking off. I mean, it was, you couldn't even see the strip from the runway of the airport. There was so much dust and so much wind going on. I was nervous about taking off in that weather. I mean, the demons really stirred it up.
Yeah. I saw that on the news there.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So you were okay with us being in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Congratulations. And I say it's about time.
It's about time is right, because we've saved the world.
That's true. We have saved the world. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Okay, so that's good news that we're upsetting the demons then. And are we still on God's good side? Does he still approve of what we're doing here on K-Rock?
Of course. Everything that you guys do is fantastic.
That's what we say.
That's why we keep calling you, Linda, because we need to hear that every once in a while. All right. Otherwise, you okay, Linda?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good right now.
Do you ever hear from your husband, by the way?
Yeah, I hear him once in a while.
Yeah.
He's helped me make a few decisions, you know, as time goes on. And I'm thinking of, should I do this and that? And I can hear him saying, go for it, or whatever, you know, like that.
Well, it's comforting.
It is comforting. It's great to have that as a resource, to know that your husband is just on the other side in the afterlife, right?
Right.
All right. Well, you don't go joining him anytime soon, Linda, because we need you around, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, I hope to live to be 100 or more.
I hope for that as well.
I do, too. All right. You have yourself a great weekend, Linda. We love you.
You, too. We love you guys, too.
Right. Okay.
Bye. I know.
See you later. What a sweet lady she is.
I want to hug her. I will fly to Maine just to hug her.
Uh-oh. What's going on here?
I'm
going
to nail her.
What? What is this? This is not the hotline to hell. Oh, no.
Kevin and Bean.
Are you one of the demons?
I am. I'm one of the demons. I almost got you in Las Vegas.
That's what I heard. You were apparently angry about our induction into the Hall of Fame.
We hate that. Down here in hell, we hate that you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame. We're so tired of you saving the world over and over again.
I can see how that would get old.
Every time we try to take over the world, one of you goes to IHOP. And the other eats strawberry ice cream. Oh, how you thwart our evil plans with your heroic actions.
It does seem like that would just shut you right down,
oh,
wouldn't it?
All those times at 7-Eleven and Denny's, just when we're on the brink of taking over humanity.
So you would own
this place.
One of you
will go to a hockey game, or even worse, a soccer game, and quelch our plans for world domination.
Well, we just can't stop being awesome, I guess, Demon.
You're so infuriated. That's why we had to create that dust storm in Las Vegas to try to bring down your plane with the most dangerous of all aviation disasters. Dust. How dust will really make your eyes sting sometimes and make you, hey, I can barely make out that thing.
It feels like maybe you didn't think that one through too
no,
much.
No, dust is the most dangerous thing ever for a plane because they only have all these electronic instruments that help them fly. They don't really need to see anything. But still, your plane gets all dusty and then someone has to watch it.
Well, I guess you showed us, Steven.
Oh, you infuriate us here in the underworld so much with your heroism.
Well, it looks like Kevin Abid 1 and Demon 0 this time around.
2016.
It is 6:53. Friday morning on the Kevin Abid Show. Rob is here. Time for another look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
Well, everyone's talking about the Star Wars trailer. Allie Mack over here crying, weeping.
She cried.
The people tweeting, "Who hurt you, Ralph?" It was emotional. Agreed. Person one that tweeted
that one person.
We didn't even play that last bit from the trailer, did we?
No, we didn't.
Don't, segment. Don't.
But it's Harrison Ford.
Why
is Han Solo saying?
It makes me tear up.
Chewie, we're home.
And by the way, considering he's in his 70s, he still looks great as Han Solo.
Yes. Chewie.
But the other big trailer news this week, of course, was the announcement that DC was going to be airing a special teaser trailer for Batman v Superman, The Dawn of Justice, on Monday at all a bunch of IMAX theaters all over these United States of ours.
Yes.
But as happens in the modern age, you can't keep anything secret.
That's true.
You can't keep stuff just for IMAX on Monday. No way. So yesterday, boom, it was all over the internet. All over the internet. Boom, 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 all over the internet. Boom.
What are you saying?
It's in boom. Apparently someone shot the screen as they were testing it at a theater in Brazil. And now we can watch it on the internet. And we did. And it looks like more of the same old sort of doom and gloom stuff from the folks over at DC. For example, Superman. Everyone's upset with Superman because, well, first of all, he destroyed their city in the first film. That wasn't great.
There's that.
And they're saying, he's just too powerful. What can we do?
Is it really surprising that the most powerful man in the world should be a figure of controversy?
We, as a population on this planet, have been looking for a savior.
We're talking about a being whose very existence challenges our own sense of priority in the universe.
Human beings have a horrible track record of following people with great
power. Corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely chaos.
Maybe he's just a guy trying to do the right thing.
We know better now, don't we? Devils don't come from hell beneath us.
No,
they come from the sky.
They come from the sky. That's Lex Luthor talking right there. And then a little guy named Batman comes along. And I'll tell you something. His trusted butler, Alfred, is not too pleased with his behavior.
Uh-oh.
Here's what Alfred has to say about Batman.
That's how it starts. The fever. The rage. The feeling of powerlessness. That turns good men cruel.
It's cruel! Cruel, that Batman! That Batman is cruel!
Who's playing Alfred in this movie, Ralph?
Jeremy Irons.
Ooh, that's nice. Good.
As Alfred.
Good casting.
And then they show you the battle between Batman and Superman. Batman wearing his big Superman fighting suit.
Right. Right.
And he has one of those in the closet, does he?
Sure. He's always prepared. He's like a Boy Scout. And Superman comes down, say, oh, it is on.
Tell me, do you bleed? You will.
Yeah. Do you bleed? You will, Superman. I cried.
You didn't cry.
I did. I'm getting tweets from a lot of people who cried when Batman said he's going to make Superman bleed.
That's not true.
A lot of people cried.
You're hurtful.
So
there, are you?
There, you don't need to get in line to see it at IMAX on Monday. Boom.
It sounds like you're not impressed by the trailer, Rob.
I'm exhausted by the relentless, grim, dour tone of these films. I'm burnt out on it. When you see the Avengers trailer and you go, oh, that looks like the best time I could possibly have at the movies. And then you see this trailer and you go, oh, I'm going to have to take a Xanax in order to not slip my wrist on the way out of this one. There's no fun in these films anymore. It's just no fun.
Looks good to me.
I agree with you, by the way, but like the Dark Knight movies were dark, but still outstanding
films. After three of those, we're like, okay, whew. That was all right.
We made it through.
We got through that. All right, well done. Well done, Christopher Nolan, okay. Can we get a little break now? Superman, his father's dead. He didn't save him, and now he's going to walk the hobo road, and then no one likes him. Oh, really? That was Man of Steel? Okay, well, it was grim. Oh, it was gritty. We liked it. We got through that. Now Batman is cruel, and Superman is a false god.
Won't be doing the panel at Comic-Con this year?
I'm just saying. I'm sure it'll be fine, and it looks like it's very well produced, and I'm sure it's going to be great. The Marvel movies they're not comedies either. They're not like they walk that line between action adventure with just enough humor to get you through all of the seriousness of it. It's just the perfect balance.
Yeah,
when you see like Captain America: Winter Soldier, boy, it's a great film. It's just as realistic and just as intense as the other, but they use lights sometimes so you can see things in them, which is a plus in some of these films.
Colors are nice.
Colors are also nice once in a while, and the characters look like the people in the comic books looked. That's also a plus.
But Ben Affleck.
But, right.
Right.
That.
Right.
Yes.
Who's with me?
Oh, everyone. Stop it. Just because he's from Boston, Alan McKay's like, toodaloo! Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Rooney Mara's 30 years old today. Singer Victoria Beckham is 41. Jennifer Garner, speaking of Ben Affleck. Mrs. Fleck, she's 43 years old today. Maynard James Keenan. He's a good man. Talented guy, 51 years old today.
He was on stage and that fan came up and choked him out.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was pretty awesome. Sean Bean, very talented actor, 56 years old today. And legendary wrestler, actor, Rowdy Roddy Piper, 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, we'll talk to the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff, about their series against Winnipeg. Also, Tim Simons from Veep on the program today and comedian Whitney Cummings as well. We talked a couple times this week. The story came up that happened on Monday afternoon about that baggage handler at Seattle International Airport who fell asleep inside the cargo hold of an airplane.
Yeah, and this seems all bad.
It does seem all bad. He was fine, by the way. He was never in any kind of real danger. Apparently, the cargo hold is pressurized and temperature controlled, but kind of got us on the topic, and we want to hear from you if you are a person who has fallen asleep at work. That's the topic on the table right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. Tell us your story of falling asleep at work. This employee had started work on Monday at around 5 a.m. His shift was scheduled to end at 2:30, just before the flight departed. So a lot of people were asking, you know, when they heard about this story, they're like, why isn't there some sort of body count? Why didn't his coworkers, the other people that are involved in baggage handling, why didn't they notice that one of the guys were missing? Apparently, they all thought, oh, he must be off and he must have already left. They just assumed he went home when his shift ended at 2:30.
Yeah,
that's why
they weren't looking for him. Hey, maybe he's asleep in the plane.
Right, exactly.
They would never think that.
During a pre-departure huddle, the team lead noticed the employee was missing. The team lead called called into the cargo hold for employees and called and texted the employee's cell phone but did not receive an answer. He and his coworkers believed he had finished his shift and went home. It was also believed that he was hidden by the luggage, making it difficult for the rest of his team to see him. All Ramp employees, by the way, have security badges and undergo full criminal background checks before being hired, according to the airline. Of course, you know, what happened was he started banging on the floor, what turned out to be the floorboard for the passengers who were on this plane, and the pilot realized they got the word that something was up, so they turned around and went back to the airport at a tremendous inconvenience to everybody involved, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. At a tremendous amount of money that it would cost to pay for the fuel and the employee hours to take off, fly 5 minutes, and then turn around and fly 5 minutes back. The strangest part of this whole story is what it must have been like for the 911 operator who got the call from somebody who is locked inside an airplane.
Now to one of the strangest 911 calls yet. A panicked baggage handler who took a nap inside the cargo hold of an Alaska Airlines 737 wakes up as the plane takes off for Los Angeles. So here he is on the phone trying to explain his dilemma to a confused 911 operator.
Hello, I'm trapped in this plane and I called my job, but I'm in this plane.
You're where?
I'm inside a plane and I feel like it's moving in the air. Flight 448, can you please tell somebody to stop it?
Where are you in a plane at?
The baggage handler works for an aviation company and not Alaska Airlines, which has now banned him from ever working on their flights.
Yeah, you know what? You with the baggage handling, not so much with our flights.
I bet there are a lot of people who figure out ways to sleep on the job. Think about how many different work environments there are with people who are in parts of the building where there's not a lot of other people working, people who are in cubicles, people who have the kind of job where they get to be out of the office for a certain amount of time. I bet people are sneaking in naps all the time, either on purpose or unintentionally.
Remember George Costanza made the whole little nap area under his desk, and he would actually go under and sleep?
You know that wasn't real, though, right?
No,
that's real. Oh, it was real.
Yeah, you did that in real life.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The King of Mexico is in here, our producer. And now Dave is on it. Dave is a hardworking employee that you can count on to be alert and awake. But there was a time when Dave was pretty much just here for minimum wage, answering phones on the Kevin and Bean Show back in the day. Dave, you used to get your fair share of catnaps, right?
I used to call this job nap time. Yeah. No, I remember once, it was after an acoustic Christmas, Brandon Boyd from Incubus was in here, and you guys asked for questions for him, and the phone lines were just going off, and you know what? I pulled an all-nighter, so I just took a nice nap, and you guys couldn't even wake me up, and finally I wake up to everyone screaming, like, why aren't you answering the phone? I was like, oh.
Commitment to excellence. Yeah. So, what I love about us, though, is that we kept Dave around.
Yeah, I think you promoted him that is what you did.
Didn't dissuade us at all.
Yeah, like, what do you have to do to lose a job these days? All right, let's take a couple of calls. We got some good ones here. Let's start with our man Logan. He is on line 4, please, and he is calling us today from Rancho Cucamonga. Logan, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show, man. What happened?
When I was 18 years old, I worked at GNC, and I was out all night drinking. I was completely drunk. I had to open the store in the morning. So I stayed up all night. I was still drunk. I opened the store, and then I sit down on a chair behind the counter, put my feet up, and I use a paper towel roll as a pillow.
Sounds good. Sounds comfortable.
I slept for about 6.5-7 hours. And this lady walks up to the counter, and she slams some vitamins on the counter. She's like, are you going to help me? Well, unbeknownst to me, for the rest of the whole day that I was sleeping, people had come inside the store, found me sleeping, and just started stealing stuff off the shelf.
Oh, my God.
Did you say 6.5 or 7 hours?
That's a shift.
Hours.
That is not a nap.
Logan, you were the only employee working at this GNC?
I'm the only one. I was the only one that day. It was like a Sunday. But anyway, cut to like 3 weeks later, my boss is doing inventory, and she's like, there's $4,000 worth of product missing. And she starts blaming me for, like, stealing from the store. I'm like, I've never stolen anything in my entire life. I don't know what you're talking about.
She wasn't asking the right question.
Yeah.
So she starts going back to the old tapes,
And if she finds me sleeping and people just walking out with tubs of protein.
That is unbelievable.
That's pretty sweet.
I was fired immediately.
That's pretty sweet.
Do you have that video? Because I would want to keep that.
I don't have that video.
That's too bad. Would be awesome. That would be a very popular YouTube video if it had existed back then. All right, Logan. Good work, sir. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to – wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Shalon, I want to say. Line two, please. Shalon in Garden Grove. Hey, Shalon. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, good morning, K-Rock.
Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
yeah,
thank you.
I have a story. My dad's a plumber, and I work with him. I'm a plumber by trade. And simply, I was doing a repipe under a house, and he took off to the supply house. I was supposed to be doing some tasks, getting those done, and he came back about 45 minutes later to catch me sleeping under the house and just wondering why I haven't been working.
Yeah.
It's cool under there.
It's nice and
nice
quiet.
Dirt. Yeah, I get it.
Dirt nap.
I mean, I guess you're lucky you're working with your dad, right?
Oh, yeah, very lucky.
Yeah, because he tends to let something like that skate where maybe somebody else wouldn't.
Plus, that was just a waste of time. It wasn't like the last guy where people are just walking out with the store. I mean, you're just sitting under the house, not doing anything.
Thanks for the call, sir. Let's do Tim real quick before the break. He's in Whittier. You know, it didn't occur to me until I saw Tim's call. What about the people who fall asleep while they're driving, if that's part of their job?
Yeah, that seems bad.
If you're lucky enough to be alive after that, we want to hear from you. What happened, Tim?
So I used to work at the shipyards in Long Beach, and those are like 5 football fields long. You know, have all those trailers come off the ships. So all my job was to get in the car and just drive around and make sure nobody broke into them. One time I started from one end, and I was just so tired from working so much, I passed out.
While driving,
I must have went about 300 yards, perfectly straight, not hitting anything. And then finally a yard dog driver saw me, drove past me, and backed up and hit his horn and woke me up. And I was like, and I looked for where I was at. Oh, man, I was lucky.
I can't imagine anything in the world more terrifying than waking up and realize you're behind the wheel of a car or a truck and driving.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, for some reason, being a security guard, that's what I used to do a lot. I used to work at a cemetery. My job was to close the cemetery at 5 o'clock. One day I sat in front of the gate. I woke up.
In front of the gate? I like that. I like you don't hide in the back.
Yeah, 3 hours later. And people are still coming in, and I'm like, oh, crap. Everybody's totally black. It took me about an hour to get everybody out.
I don't know why the fact that the people visiting the cemetery were black is important to the story.
It was dark.
I don't know why you got a big race into it,
too.
We're just
trying
to have a nice
nighttime
conversation here.
What's
about sleeping.
With you?
All right, sir. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. I know you've got the story. You fell asleep at work. Tell us about it next on K-Rock. Talking about that Alaska Airlines baggage handler who fell asleep in the cargo hold of a plane on Monday. Now we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. When have you fallen asleep at work? Robert writes in, regarding the current call-in topic on Kevin and Bean, I lost my job at Disney after falling asleep on a bench at the park. I was so tired. I had a 15-minute break. I set the alarm on my phone to make sure I woke up, but for whatever reason, I didn't, and I was asleep for an hour and 45 minutes.
Awesome.
I regret lying down on the beach to this very day. That's how I lost my job. Popo's out. This one. Hey, Bean, I used to be a Newport. This is frightening, you guys. I used to be a Newport Beach lifeguard. And after sitting in the sun for so many hours, you just start to get tired. So I'd put my shades on and I would sit there with my eyes closed and rest. I would often nap in small increments and
that
no one ever suspected anything.
That's what you want your lifeguards doing.
No.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And I love this email because it's signed Not Zeke. So that'll completely keep him anonymous. So that's good work. All right. Let's start with let's get Greg on the line from Long Beach, please. 1-800-520-1067. Greg, we're talking about falling asleep at work. What you got for us, man?
Morning, Kevin, Bean.
Hi there.
Allie.
Good morning.
I used to work for DirecTV, and I would fall asleep on rooftops all the time.
Oh, really? All the time?
Yeah.
But isn't somebody home, like, kind of waiting for you to come down and test out their new DVR?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a service technician, so I wouldn't be installing. And mostly it would be people that were complaining about not knowing how to use their remote controls. I'd say, hey, let me go check out your dish real quick.
You'd come back like 7 hours later.
Yeah.
It wasn't too hot on the on the roof?
Well, I used to work down in Orange County, so I got a nice ocean breeze.
Right.
Every now and then I'd roll over and kind of bang on the roof a little bit.
So they thought you were busy?
Wait, were they sloped roofs? Were these what kind of roofs are we talking here?
All kinds of roofs, tile roofs, flat roofs.
Were you ever nervous about falling off?
Not really. I mean, when you're doing it for so long, you kind of get used to it.
He's a professional roof napper.
He is. He's a roof napper.
That is awesome. All right, sir. Thanks so much. Let's go to line one, please. Up in Santa Clarita, we got our man Kyle on the line. Hey, Kyle. Thanks for calling the Kevin Meacher. When did you fall asleep at work?
I used to work for a little company called First Med Ambulance down in North Hollywood. And we used to work 24-hour shifts. And we were driving back from Huntington Memorial Hospital. And on the way back, stopped at a red light and was completely passed out. My partner, after about 5 minutes, tapped me on the shoulder and realized we were stopped, and I woke up and just continued with my shift.
Both of you fell asleep at the same time?
No, no. He was in the back with a patient. There was
you had a patient? You had a patient in the ambulance?
Yeah, but we were at a stoplight, so they were kind of safe.
But are you supposed to go through a stoplight if you have a patient in the ambulance?
Yeah. Okay. 24 hours. You can't blame me.
Well, I mean, I think we sort of can. I mean,
yeah,
can
why
understand.
Can't we blame you? We You're driving an ambulance.
We can understand why it happened, but first of all, you don't stop at red lights. Maybe that helps. Okay.
It happened multiple times, too, like even when we're on the freeway. I have a tendency of falling asleep when I drive. And unless I, like, chew sunflower seeds or basically, like, listen to AM radio or talk radio.
Wow, there's nothing more exciting than AM radio. Right. Wow. That'll keep you awake forever, man. All right. Thank you, Kyle. I have a tendency to fall asleep while I drive is a sentence that just came out of a man's
mouth.
Yeah,
that's scary.
He's not the guy I'm going on a road trip with.
All right. I have to say Demir may be my favorite call if this pans out on line two in Aliso Viejo. Hi, Demir. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. So I started working for a tech company many years ago, and during the six-week training, it was in the evening, it was 2 to 10 p.m., I started falling asleep during the training, and I probably fell asleep, I don't know, between 6 and 9 times during that 6 weeks, and at the end, they're like, we love you, you're a great guy, but I don't think it's going to work out.
So they actually they knew you were sleeping every time you were sleeping. And
they would kick my leg, like, hey, you need to wake up. And I'd nod off during the training. I couldn't stay awake.
What do you think that's about? Did you have some sort of medical condition, or was just the work so deadly dull that it just couldn't keep you interested enough to stay awake?
Well, there was a few different factors. Number one, I mean, training is never that exciting.
Right.
Number two, it's you would go out with some of the guys after work, you know, 10 p.m., and then you'd end up at going out till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And
sure.
I was the youngest guy, so I would have class in the morning while most of these guys already finished college. So I would go from school from, like, you know, 8 to noon, 8 to 1, and then go to this job. And so my sleep was maybe 3-4 hours at max.
Well, that's why you got to have that training job to catch up on your Z's, man. I got you.
That's what I thought, but apparently they had other plans.
All right, let's do one more. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Tom in Irvine. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing? Kevin
Good.
Dean.
You're a teacher?
Yeah.
And you fell asleep when?
Luckily, it was during a prep period. I was, I'm like, you have a period off where you're supposed to prep.
Yep.
And I kind of nodded back, and I thought my door was closed. My door doesn't latch all the way sometimes. So the door was locked. I figured, it's got lunchtime next, so I got a good hour and a half, you know, before my next class. And the next thing I know, I kind of pop awake, and there's probably 6 or 7 of my students around me, and they're, you know, flashing up the peace signs, and they're taking selfies with me.
Yep, they did the right thing. They were taking selfies with their asleep teacher.
I was head back, mouth open.
Sweet.
You know, just out.
Sweet.
And I'm like, I better never find these on the internet. I swear to God, I better never.
Yeah,
find
well,
them.
Most of the time they don't go up on the internet, so you don't have to worry about that.
Sure, because why would a kid ever do anything to embarrass a teacher on the internet? Come on.
All right, sir. Thanks for the call, Tom. I appreciate that. We got to clear the lines right now and open them right back up at 1-800-520-1067 for something completely different. Kevin, what are we giving away here?
We are giving away tickets to the Clippers in the playoffs.
What? Against the Spurs in round one of the NBA playoffs. We are looking for Clippers fans. You are going to have to earn these tickets, though, and I think this is going to be fun. Ask me to call us at 1-800-520-1067. We want you to freestyle rap about the Clippers. Right?
yes, right.
Look, people make up little songs all the time. This is your opportunity to prove your love for the Clippers and also your mad rhyming skills. We want to hear from you. If you can freestyle rap about the Clippers, the best one is going to win playoff tickets. I think this is for game 2, I want to say. Clippers versus Spurs at the Staples Center. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We can't wait, and we'll hear from you next on K-Rock. If you want to go see some NBA playoff action, Los Angeles Clippers versus the San Antonio Spurs, you can go to Clippers.com or AXS.com and try to buy your tickets. Or you can win them right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. We have a pair of tickets right now for Game 2, which is going to be next Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. at Staples Center. And we're asking you to call in and give us your favorite freestyle rap about the Clippers. So really, it's wide open for you. You can do whatever you want, and then we'll just pick whichever one moves us the most. You know, we have a little bit of a precedent of rap and the Clippers together, don't we, Kevin?
Yeah, the King of Mexico has attempted a rap from time to time.
C-L-I-P-P-E-R-S. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything. Represent the Clippers.
I like put your jersey on. Put on anything.
Anything, really.
Just put something on.
Put on some flip-flops.
Yeah. Well, we're setting the bar pretty low to win this game, I think.
Speaking of Jay-Z and Kanye.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City.
Come on.
I like that one, by the way. I think that one's actually pretty good.
Not bad.
So you've had a couple of minutes on hold to think about it. I know this is daunting, but who knows? Maybe we got some people out there who are good at it. So 1-800-520-1067. We are going to ask you to get Clippy with it.
Clipper playoffs, that's the payoff. Drop a freestyle and make us go wild. Come on, pick up the mic. Check 1, 2. Drop a fat rhyme, these ticks are for you.
Woo!
Clipper Nation, make sure it's a hit. Ha ha! Because you got to rap it to win it. Getting Clippy with it.
Bingo, me oh my.
Getting Clippy with it.
CP3 and Blake Griffin, oh. Right.
Getting Clippy with it.
All right, so you can't be that bad, right?
Right. I would hope not. So, all right, so let's just see what we got. We have no idea what to expect. It's been a long time since we've used this method to give away tickets, but why don't we start in order with our man Marvin. He's up first from Riverside on line one, please.
Hey, Marvin.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you're a brave man for calling. We know this is a tough one. It's a lot to ask, but we want to hear what you got. Tell us about your Clippers, man.
All right, you want me to start right now?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Call me the skipper, the captain of this Clipper. Yo, I'll be scoring like DeAndre Jordan. I'll be telling Papa Vich to stop snoring. I hit threes like CP3 because I represent the Cali.
I like it. I think the brought it home, man. All right.
I didn't like it until Hold on.
Hey, Marvin, nice effort. You hang on. You are still in the running to be America's Next Top Model.
It's not America's Next Top
Model. I'm sorry. To win the ticket to go see the Clippers.
Just for the record, there's two pair so that we're
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, fantastic.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Los Alamitos. Hi, Mark.
Bingo. Here we go. I got the Clippers and Chris Paul with the ball. He'll dribble around all of y'all. My man, Chris Griffith, he's flying through the sky. Like an eagle in the high. Go with Deion Jordan. He'll grab the ball and dribble all around it, y'all.
All right. Okay. All right. Good. Good. Good.
Right. Mark's phone isn't helping him at all, but I appreciate the effort anyway.
Neither is his talent.
This is Mark on line two. Let's see what Chris has got for us in Hollywood on line three, please.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on? Yo.
You ready to rap?
Yo.
Go.
My name's C. Lip, and I'm here to say Clipper Nation's here, and we're taking the bay. It's been a long year while we're missing Griffin, but that didn't stop us from getting it in. With Blake and Paul on the line, I think we can agree it's the Clippers' time.
Pretty strong.
All right. I like it. Very good. Thank you very much, Chris. You hold on. Wow, this could be we got to try to keep all these straight, too, you guys, and pick some winners.
So far, I have Marvin and Chris that are my favorites, but let's go to Jerry and see how he's doing. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good. Thank you. Go.
All right. Here we go. Lob City, when you see DeAndre Hoop, I'm talking Clipper Nation, red, white, and blue. Stand up and salute. Kevin and Bean, I'm talking to you.
All right.
Okay, it's a good start. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. Let's bring a lady into the mix. Christina up next in Long Beach, line 5.
Hey, Christina.
Hi. Morning.
All right. Get your best Nikki on. What do you got for the Clippers?
All right. DeAndre Jordan, hey, DJ, why don't you come my way? He'll shut it down all around the town. He'll knock that ball right out of bounds. Hey, CP3, why don't you come assist me all day? What do you say?
I love you, but you sort of fell apart.
I'm trying to get to school.
Oh, you're driving?
Running late.
By the way, Christina's very hip for a teacher, I would like to say. That was well done. You hang on. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. All right, we got time for a couple more, do we?
Yep, we have.
Let's see what Carlos has got for us then.
Carlos.
Yo, thank you, Kevin and Bean.
The Clippers are going to play mean. They're going to be winning. They're going to be chilling. California Nation be ready for some Clipper Nation. The Spurs going to get the worst curse. Michael Jordan's going to look like DeAndre Jordan. And that's all I got, man.
Well, I do like that you rhymed Jordan with Jordan. I like that very much.
How is Michael Jordan going to look like DeAndre Jordan? That's weird.
All right, let's do one more. I want to introduce you all to Westminster's Maya, who calls us this morning as a 9-year-old to try to win Clipper tickets. Aww. Hi, Maya. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
Are you actually a Clipper fan, or are you trying to win one for your mom or your dad?
No, I'm a really big Clippers fan.
Seriously, okay. Though.
No, really. I'm a big Clippers fan.
See, she wasn't alive for most of the years that the Clippers were bad. So for her, the last few years have been pretty sweet as a Clippers fan.
That's true.
All right, Maya, let's see what you got, sweetheart. Good luck.
Thanks. I know my daddy's a Lakers boy, but I'm a Clippers girl, so I don't care what he says. I'm going to go play ball with the Clippers all day and all night.
Look.
Word.
Look. She's she's sending a shot across the bow of Dad.
She's letting him know, I'm a girl and I am strong, Dad, but Dad, can you still drive me?
Dad is a Laker
fan. Yeah, yeah.
I do like that she called out the Lakers in her rap. That's pretty awesome.
That's strong.
Not just the Lakers, but her own father.
Yes.
Maya, you are my favorite fourth grader. You hang on. We have adult conversation to have here. All right. Who did you guys like? I liked Carlos very much, by the way. Thought Carlos was real good in East Los. He was on line 6.
He was good.
I liked
Christina, the teacher. She was great.
Yes.
I like Christina as well.
Behind her, I like Chris. So we could.
And I like Marvin because he rhymes scoring with snoring.
Okay.
And I appreciate that.
All right.
All right. You know, I almost feel like it's too tough. Would it be fair just to do a drawing rather than to try to pick since we have so many good ones?
Here's what I'd like to do. I would like to give a pair to Maya because she needs to win because she called out her dad. That was strong.
Well,
right? And then we'll do a drawing for the rest.
I'm fine with that. Allie, is that cool?
She's a kid, and she called out her dad. Yes.
Congratulations, Maya.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hold on, please.
All right. So we'll find out who. Right. Marvin just hung up, by the way. You could still win, Marvin. Come on.
Oh,
let's find
no.
out. Let's do a drawing to find out who wins the second pair of tickets for Clippers versus Spurs Wednesday night at Staples Center. Right. Good luck.
I'm shuffling all the names. The winner is Carlos.
Carlos! Yeah! Congratulations, yes. Carlos.
Awesome, guys.
Well done. Enjoy the game.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks
for
getting clippy with it.
Getting clippy with it.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. A lot of good happens.
It just happened.
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
He's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're responding.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that to, right. her, to his statement that said, nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So you don't like the first person in line, but the second person you do like? I'm confused.
Losing my grasp on reality.
Hey, how about your Ducks, Kevin? How about your Anaheim Ducks?
Dare you?
I'm just saying. 1-0 up against Winnipeg last night.
They're not my Ducks, but I know a lot of people who listen to the show, they are.
Well, we're very excited to have Ryan Getzlaff. He'll be joining us, the center from the Ducks and captain is going to be joining us right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the show. He's beating her on a Friday. And by the way, Ralph, for you, I present Mr. Timothy Simons from TV's Veep next hour
Freaking
as well.
Freaking Veep.
Right?
Freaking. I've watched that episode like 3 times now.
So
it's
funny.
So dense.
Yep.
Veep is so dense that if you don't just close the blinds and put aside your snack and just focus in on that television show, you will miss about 13% of it every time you watch it.
I watched this episode twice this week as well, Ralph. It was so great, and it went by so fast that you had to see it again.
Yes, and they're going, like, and there's jokes buried in the stuff. They're talking about details about speeches and about laws and stuff, and it's just the best comedy on television.
It really is.
It really is. It's head and shoulders above everything else.
And you're right, nothing is thrown away. Everything is important.
Boy.
Whether they said it under their breath or any, you know, whatever.
Can't stop loving that show so much.
And how is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's already had a 30-year genius career with various shows, how is she better every week?
She's never been as good in anything as she is in this. And that means Seinfeld and SNL. I mean, we all know she's been a ton of stuff. She's just at the peak of her game. They all are.
Yeah,
Matt Walsh and Tim and The name is lost to me. But
Gary Cole?
Yeah, Gary's incredible. Great, but the guy who plays her chief of staff, Kale. The heavyset guy, can't think of the actor's name. But
I know you're talking about. Yeah, he's great.
He's crushing it, crushing it. Has been since her campaign got started. I mean, just...
Tony Hale is great.
Tony Hale is great.
It's unbelievable.
There's no weak link. Everybody is amazing. The actor who plays her vice president now is just insanely funny. And now they have added Patton Oswalt to the mix.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Too much.
I guess I should be saving this for when.
Well, I mean, we are going to talk.
Tim gets
Veep
here,
in a half hour, but all right.
But boy.
Tim, you can just turn around and go home. We've already covered it.
We've already sold your show
we
for you.
We promoted it.
So you don't need to appear, but. Boy. All right, let's talk a little showbiz news. Wiz Khalifa. Congratulations, Wiz. Anything you'd like to say, Allie?
Nobody beats him.
That's what I thought.
Mm.
He is number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time this week.
Nice.
Ending the 14-week run of Mark Ronson's Uptown Funk featuring Bruno Mars, which drops now to second. Then Sugar by Maroon 5, Trap Queen by Fetty Wap. Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
No.
Yeah,
it is a thing. It's a huge thing. By
Fetty
the way.
Wap. Fetty Wap is
Everybody's
a thing.
Everybody's about the Fetty Wap.
I'm not about the Fetty Wap. I'll have you say right now, I'm officially saying it out loud. I'm not all about the Fetty Wap. I'm about the Wetty Fap.
Sure.
Aren't we all? That's
something completely different.
It's a whole different phenomenon. And thinking out loud, Ed Sheeran, those are your top five. Here's number six. Earned It, The Weeknd.
Yeah,
from the 50 Shades, Shades of Grey. Love Me Like You Do, Ellie Goulding.
Mm-hmm.
GDFR, Flo Rida, featuring Sage the Gemini and Lucas. I think Lucas called in the last segment, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Shut Up and Dance. Hey, there's a song I know, Shut Up and Dance. From Walk the Moon, I know Shut Up and Dance. I've heard that song.
Yes, you have.
On this very station.
Yes, you have.
And then Style by Taylor Swift.
By Taylor Swift? Another hit from the 1989 album? Is that what you're talking about in the top 10? How about that?
Shut up.
And sure I heard what Ralph was saying.
There's your top 10 on the Billboard list.
By the way, this was interesting to me. That Wiz Khalifa song that you mentioned that's number one. That's
See You Again with Charlie Puth.
Charlie Puth, right. That is from Fast and the Furious.
Right.
This is the which is also the number one album in America,
yes,
too, right?
The soundtrack.
The first time an album and single from a movie has been number one in something like 20 years. That used to be a thing all the time when that used to happen.
That's
but it just
true.
Doesn't as much anymore.
50 Shades and the Fast and Furious soundtracks, I think, are the top of the charts with albums right now.
How about that?
So,
a lot of people missing that Charlie Walker, though. This song is very touching to a lot of people because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Walker. Sorry.
Charlie,
Paul
too. Walker. I miss Charlie Walker.
Charlie, Paul. Yeah.
Charlie Walker used to do my gardening. But then he went on vacation with his wife, Edith, to Florida. And I miss Charlie Walker.
Oh, so bad.
He did a great job with the azaleas. Today's celebrity birthdays. He had a wooden hand, too.
Charlie Walker
had a wooden hand. And
the terrorist
guy,
situation, too. Yeah,
the terrorist situation, right. He stabbed him.
All of that.
I think Charlie Walker finally got the altitude to get off his boat, and that's what happened. That's why he
it's
was
all
able.
Coming around.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wrestler, actor, Rowdy Roddy Piper, 61 years old today. Actor Sean Bean is 50. What?
What?
I'm sorry, Sean what? Bean with a B. Sean Bean is 56 years old today. Maynard James Keenan, 51. Jennifer Garner is 43. Victoria Beckham turns 41. And do you have a skinnier bell you can ring for Victoria Beckham? You have a thinner bell?
Do we have a thin bell?
We need to get a thinner bell.
All right.
And Rooney Mara is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ryan Getzlaf, Anaheim Ducks.
This is Getzlaf. They cross. He has room. Getzlaf with a shot. He scores! How's that for leadership? Ryan Getzlaf has tied it.
Make no mistake. Getzlaf is a wonderful offensive and all-around player, but he can also fight.
That's right.
And he took a pretty good left hand right there.
Getzlaf takes it right in the mouth.
Penner gets it back in front. There's Getzlaf. There's the hat trick.
Great play by Getzlaf. Bats the pass out of midair. And he scores again. Oh, my. He's putting on a clinic.
What can he do, by the way? A couple of Olympic gold medals, skating for Canada, perennial NHL All-Star. He is your center and your captain for the Anaheim Ducks. And he joins us on the Kevin Abeen Show right now after a big win against Winnipeg last night. Mr. Getzlaf, welcome to the Kevin Abeen Show, sir. How are you?
Thanks, guys. I'm doing good.
Got to tell you, I'm watching that game last night, and I'm thinking, we're talking to Ryan tomorrow. Please win, please win, please win. Because I knew it would be a much more fun interview today if you weren't coming off of a loss. It was, man, that was so physical. I know we expect that in every NHL game, and particularly in the playoffs, but there wasn't a second of downtime in that game last night. Did it feel that way to you two?
It was. It was a lot of fun. It was exactly what we expected when it came to the physicality and the emotions in the game. And it was a hard fought game and fast.
How does it happen that your rankings in the postseason just don't matter? You guys are in first place. Winnipeg's in eighth place, and it's basically an even game between actually every team that's in the playoffs.
Well, you're talking about a league that has a lot of great teams in it, and I think that, you know, when you're talking about being the top eight in the conference, that kind of weeds it down. That's half the conference. So anyone who's there deserves to be there and is ready to compete.
They were also commenting, and I was watching the post game, and they were commenting about how a lot of the road teams had won in the first two nights of the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, and that was such a surprise to me. I mean, do you feel a big home field advantage, a home ice advantage, when you're at the Honda Center, or no?
Well, I mean, we definitely feel comfortable in our building, and I thought it was great the way our fans showed up to support last night, and look forward to it again tomorrow, but. I think when you're going into that playoff, sometimes going on the road, it can, you know, you have less distractions when you're on the road. You're more together as a group, and sometimes that can work to your advantage. But luckily, we held off them last night and were able to maintain our home ice advantage.
And you guys set a regular season record for the most wins when you're trailing in the third period. And again, last night, same thing. Are you guys just going into the third period like, we got this? This is where we shine.
Well, we definitely play with a confidence, that's for sure. We've been able to kind of build that throughout the year. No matter what the situation, we just continue playing. And that's been a big thing for us. And can be a really, really big advantage going into the playoffs.
Let's talk about the Corey Perry goal. That
yes, please.
The play continued for, I think it was 62 seconds afterward before they can actually, you know, look at it at the replay and see if it was a goal. Corey saw it go in. He seemed to be the only one, but he's like, that went in. That's a goal. But you guys kept playing. And is it true that no penalty or nothing that happens after that counts if they go back and overturn it?
No, it's not true. We got
it's
a penalty right
yeah.
after.
Yeah, so, he got a penalty
the
right
announcer
after.
But the announcer was saying, oh, yeah, won't matter.
If that turns out to be a goal, everything that happens afterwards doesn't count, is what you're saying,
That's
Kevin?
What he said, yeah. And I didn't know that.
I think that the rule changed last year or the year before they voted on it.
Okay.
On changing that rule a little bit to I don't know what the meaning behind it is, but. They set the clock back, but the penalty still stands. So
and they killed the penalty, so
confusing. Everything was fine. You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So what's it like for, I'm sure you talked to him about this, and it's probably happened to you as well, Ryan, but what's it like when you know it was a goal and the ref didn't see it? Like, how do you process that? Do you just have, I mean, I guess it's out of your hands. You can't do anything about it, but just wait, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing because, honestly, you know, there's been times where I thought the puck went in and I was sure it went in, and then they watched on video and they overturn it. So you never really know until that ref makes that signal. So it was nice to get that reward last night.
That was so unbelievably athletic. Of course, they showed that play over and over and over again. To see the way that Corey Perry was able to make that first attempt and bounce back out and then reach around it almost, I mean, like, I couldn't even stand up at that angle that he was shooting another goal. I mean, obviously, you know how athletic he is, but it was incredible to see that in slow motion last night.
I don't know if I'd necessarily call him athletic. There's some things with that puck that not a lot of guys can. It's pretty impressive.
I got to tell you, I also liked your goal where you were just looking the goal. It looked like you knew the goalie was watching you, and you were just looking a different way, and you were like, boom, top corner.
Yeah, I just made a decision that I was going to do something a little different. I've been known to pass a little more than I should. That was just an opportunity where we did a little role play, and our guys did a good job in front of the net.
Well, full disclosure, my parents got season tickets to the Kings when they moved out here in 1968. I was raised a Kings fan. But the moves you guys made off season this summer, I said to my dad, I'm like, I don't like the Ducks at all this year. And you guys have not proved me wrong at all. Does this year feel different to you?
It feels good. I mean, I think that you know, Bob did a great job of going out and getting some depth in our organization, and and allowing us to, you know, take a little pressure off our first line and having some guys that have a little bit more experience. And our guys got experience last year. I think that, you know, the kids are even more far along now and ready to take on bigger roles.
Is there more pressure in the playoffs than there was last year just because of the way last year went?
I don't think so. You know, the playoffs every year we enter them the same way. We want to win. Every time we step on the ice, it's an opportunity. So I think that this year is no different. We came into it with the same mentality and trying to take advantage of being here.
Listen to how calm and cool this man is, by the way. Yeah. Ryan Getzlaff on the phone with us here on the Kevin DeMean Show, captain for the Anaheim Ducks. As he mentioned, game two for this playoff series against Winnipeg is going to be tomorrow night at Honda Center. All right, I have to ask you about a couple non-hockey things real quick, Ryan. First of all, your beard game is notoriously weak in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of grief from teammates about that?
Well, the playoffs aren't long enough, generally. I need about 3.5 months to make
it. Have you ever seriously considered starting early?
No, you can't do that.
Then that's, you jinx it, right?
That's cheating. Yeah.
Okay.
I shaved fresh yesterday, so
All right.
I'll do my best, though.
Yeah, you do not bring it. I mean, so you got some hairy guys on the team that really do, they outshine you in the beard department. All right, last question I have for you, sir. There was a lot of chatter online yesterday when you showed up for the game in a new car that I am unfamiliar with. It's called the McLaren, I guess, and it looks like the freaking Batmobile. I always hear about them building these cars to be aerodynamic, and this is one of those fancy cars that has those doors that go straight up to the sky when you open it. Can you feel a difference in a car that is shaped like that versus in a regular, like, sedan or something?
Well, there's a lot of big differences when you're driving a car like that. It's a spectacular car. I've just been driving it the last week, and I have an opportunity with a car dealership here that I with CNC Motors that I jumped on board with, and I'm part of the organization now, so I get to drive a lot of nice cars.
Oh, nice.
So now that you won game one, do you have to continue driving that car, and will you throughout the playoffs?
Obviously.
No, it just depends. It's honestly, most of it depends on whether my kids are coming to the game. My kids weren't there last game, so I got to drive it. My kids tell my kids, I got to bring my truck so that I can take them home.
Oh, dang kids.
Stupid kids. I know. I mean, there are just some cars that from a mile away, your ears, prick up and you go, wait a minute, what is that? I mean, that one really stands out. I mean, it does look like it would be super fun to drive. How fast have you driven it, Ryan?
Oh, I only go the speed limit.
You are a liar.
Well, it looks like you're enjoying yourself, and it was so fun to watch you guys play. And this year definitely does feel special. And it's just one game at a time. I mean, you're lucky enough to be up 1-0 now, but anything can happen in hockey. We wish you nothing but success tomorrow night, sir.
Appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Yep, always great to have you on. Ryan Getzlaff, ladies and gentlemen, from the Anaheim Ducks. There's a little show called Veep that airs on HBO Sunday nights at 10:30, and I think the consensus opinion is it's the best comedy on television.
Yes.
Right, gentlemen?
Yes.
Lady? Right?
Ever.
I think you could make an argument for top five of all time easy.
It is,
right?
Pretty special.
Top five comedy of all time television? Easily. It has to be in the top five, I think, yes.
And I have to say that 1/32nd of the credit for that goes to the man who's in our room with us right now. The great actor Tim Simons joins us here. He, of course, is Jonah Ryan, White House liaison on Veep, and he joins us on the Kevin DeMean Show on KRI. How you been, Timothy? Long time, sir.
Long time. I've been doing great. I'm going to take 100% of the credit for that 30-second.
Okay.
1/32nd. Okay. Does that make
you
sense?
Should.
The math
it's
check
absolutely.
Out on that?
Yeah.
I was going to ask Tim, how's it hanging when he came in, but then I decided to get into that. Maybe after watching the first episode.
He's got a lot of good answers for that.
He's got a ton of them, and I don't want to hear any of them.
So crushingly horrible to say stuff like that. I actually cringed when I watched the episode the other night when he came in and he did that Pimps Be Dying.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I like physically.
I like that you refer to him as him.
That's weird.
Well, I have to have some sort of separation
from all of his terrible behavior.
He's one of the most cringe-inducing characters on television. He is,
and everyone hates him.
He is a relentless douchebag.
Yes,
who's just with zero self-awareness, mm-hmm. and it is.
I don't know how you get in touch with that part of yourself, because I know you a little bit, and you're so not that guy. And I know how acting works. I know you pretend to be someone else. But still, you have to find some of that in you to make it real, and you do, almost seemingly effortlessly.
Well, thank you. That I can effortlessly slide into being a douchebag.
It's just under the surface, huh, Tim?
My mama, that was the compliment she gave me from a very young age.
Is it because everybody knows a Jonah like that, so it's easier for you to tap into it?
I feel like that's kind of the thing that at least I've taken, and at least one of the reactions that has come from it is anytime I ever meet anybody, like, you know, in the grocery store or on the street, like, a lot of the times the thing that we end up commiserating about is not how much they like the show, but how much I remind them of somebody they hate in their office. So it's every
Jonah is everywhere.
He's universal.
He's everywhere. And I've even had them before. So it's just like there's a lot that you can draw from in that way. And then just the sense of, like, whatever sense of personal decorum that you might think you would have to, you know, just like the social contract wise, you can just ignore all of that and say whatever comes to mind.
It's kind of freeing, I guess.
Yeah. You know what I think is interesting too, and I know it's a comedy and everything's exaggerated and everything, but I bet there's so much truth in everybody in politics trying to one-up everybody else in politics and everybody else who has that job. I mean, because, you know, Jonah has a good job, but it's not as good a job as he wants, mm-hmm. you know? And he's always trying to puff that up, and people are always trying to put him down. And I bet so much of that is real within the Beltway.
We've tried to stay pretty close to the reality of D.C. Like, you know, we have, like, Frank Rich is one of our executive producers, and he's worked and sort of been a student of politics for a long time, just reporting.
New York Times writer, for folks who don't know the name.
Yeah, and so all the scripts are vetted by people that worked in D.C. just to make sure that it is kept very realistic. But there is that thing of just, like, we have gotten this horrible compliment before that we are very realistic, which is an awful thing to think about.
Yeah, I would think you're exaggerating a lot.
And a lot of times this happens, like, I've kind of always gone with this Jonah backstory that one of his only talents is that he can pick the thing on a menu on the campaign trail that is the perfect perfect food item. Like, this is going to play the man if you order this. And then just yesterday, I think there was an article, I think in the New York Times, about food choices and how important they are.
Wow. Regarding
Hillary Clinton's perfect Chipotle order.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's like, you can't even parody politics anymore.
Can't, and so many storylines that we've had on the show have come true in between, like, the writers went into a room, thought of the dumbest thing a politician could do, and before we aired, it happened, and so now we look like we're just ripping it from the headlines.
Now you got to go back in and make it worse.
We have to go back in and make it worse.
You know what's striking to me is the distance between the public persona of politics and the effort they put into showing their concern and care about an issue versus what they say in the room when the door is closed to the people they work with. The distance between those two locations to me never ceases to make me uncomfortable.
It is. Like, there's just that thing of, like, well, how do you really feel about this issue? And the true answer, if they were just to have, like, a naked true answer, would be, whatever makes me more popular.
Yeah.
That's what I care about. Whatever will get me more people voting for me. That's it.
Instead of saying, what hikers this week at the end of the episode, it just struck me as, like, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. What hikers? It's just no one gives a rat's ass.
Are they dead? Do I have to care about them? Is it my fault?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Then their death does not matter to me.
That's the process.
This is the voice of actor Timothy Simons here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, he plays Jonah Ryan on the TV show Veep. We're talking about HBO on Sunday nights. You know what? What else is crazy about this show is you have so many regular characters on the show that oftentimes there are characters that only get 4 or 5 lines, but they still make such an impact with their short appearance on screen. And that's such a testament to the writers and the actors. I mean, any other show, they would get that script and go, oh, I guess I'm not on it this week. You know what I mean? Basically. But there's so much impact in their lines. It's incredible that they're able to do that.
When you have, like, Gary Cole and Kevin Dunn and...
By the way, Kevin Dunn was the name of the actor I could not remember when we were talking about Ben, her chief of staff.
Her chief of staff is Ben Cafferty, played by Kevin Dunn. When you have guys of that, like, anything they say, they could say one word in an entire episode and it would carry a lot of weight. But one of the things that... Like, we have this process in which we shoot essentially for a half an hour comedy. When they assemble, like, the first edit, it's like an hour and 10 minutes long, and we shoot so much that ultimately they may have said a lot more, and then they just edited it down to its like the bare minimum to get it to 28 minutes.
That's got to be a weird process, because people have to be going, oh, that wasn't my favorite line. My favorite line is out.
One thing that's happened is in this process, we've kind of like, it's kind of an ego-free process from the writers. Like, if you asked a writer, like, who wrote that joke, oddly for a group of writers, sometimes they just don't remember.
Writers may be ego-free, but what about actors? What about the actors when their favorite line is cut?
My best performance is on the floor.
You know, I think normally we'd all, like, you know, we all have like sort of like an egotistical and self-centered part of us. But one great thing about the process is very early on, you had to learn to let it go, because at least, I mean, if you're shooting an hour, at least 50% of the stuff that you did isn't going to end up in there.
Right.
And it's been a lesson, because a lot of the times you don't miss it. By the time you actually watch the episode, you can't even remember the stuff that you actually shot. So it's a really amazing process, and I think a testament to the ensemble of actors and writers.
The scripts that you use must be just twice the size of an average sitcom script, right?
I think our longest was this year. I think we had an 87-page script for, I think, episode 9.
Wow.
And the current edit of that, last I heard, it was like an hour and 48 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Well, for those who don't know, a page of dialogue in a screenplay or television script pretty much translates to a minute of screen time. So if you're doing a 30-minute sitcom, it should be roughly 30 pages long. So for something to be over 80 pages long for an half an hour show, it's just madness. But the dialogue is so dense, and there's so much to say. You guys have just, you know, long paragraphs of exposition and conversation on a regular basis. That's why I thought it just must be such a dense script to work with.
It is, but it's fun. And there's like, it's a ever changing process. I mean, sometimes we'll be doing a big scene, like, you know, a 12 pager where it, like, entrances and exits in and out of the office and all that kind of stuff. And it'll just, like, we'll just get handed new pages on the way, like on the walk to set.
Oh, man.
And then, and it's just, but we just have a great crew, and it's a fun thing, and ends up being sort of like, okay, well, all that planning, we put that to the side.
Ralph had mentioned earlier that he needs to close the blinds, put the snacks away. He needs to fully focus on the show because you miss so much. And I had said when you walked in, I have to allot an hour to watch it because I'm rewinding constantly. I'm like, how dare you be that amazing and so funny? Do you get that a lot?
I do. I mean, even when I watch it, there are things that I miss. And I always recommend to people, like, just to always go back and take a Tony Hale pass. Like, just always take a Tony Hale pass.
Great.
Just start from the beginning and only watch him. So then that's awesome. Only going to build in another half an hour.
I know. I'm going to have to just go home on Monday. After Sunday, obviously, and just a lot, an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's your whole day. It's just, what are you doing today? Just watching Veep. That's
just
all
watching
I've done. All right, season 4 premiered last Sunday night on HBO. You can still catch up with it in new episodes every Sunday night at 10:30 on HBO. Tim Simons is here from Veep. We'll return in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Ladies are crying, pimps are dying. It's Jonah Ryan, actor Timothy Simons, in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show from HBO's Veep. Season premiere for season 4 was this past Sunday night. Let me play this tiny little clip. It's only 15 seconds long, but this just illustrates in 15 seconds why this show is so great. So Tony Hale's character is spying on the president. He's in love with Julie Louis-Dreyfus's president, who's in the Oval Office, and he is looking at from a window, and you come up behind him. Jonah comes up behind him and scares the crap out of him.
Vampire! Stop!
If I was a ninja, you'd be dead right now. That's a life lesson, courtesy Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's not cool, man.
Wait, what are you even doing?
I'm keeping an eye on the president.
Are you sure you wouldn't be more comfortable at the book depository now?
Yeah, can you just leave, please?
It was a joke.
That, I mean, it's got the physical comedy in it, and the angst and the drama, and then the historical reference that's spot on and funny. It's just unbelievable how much stuff you guys cram into that show.
You were actually cringing listening to that.
Yeah,
that's,
I think,
amazing.
It's the Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, what he thinks, like, what he thinks is cool and, like, a fun play on words that I just, it's so cringy.
You know that character walked away and went, nailed it.
I love seeing you and Tony work together because it's one of the few times that Jonah gets to be in the dominant position in a scene.
Yeah.
You know, because Tony's character is so sort of meek and mild that Jonah finally gets to be up on somebody a little bit.
There are very few times where he gets to be high status.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Gary is just so emasculated and so strange that, like, he can't help but be higher status.
Right.
So, oh, God, it's just terrible. And I also, like, I don't know if I should say if it's appropriate to say I love it. Like, I love jokes about assassination. I love jokes about that. So I'm more than happy to deliver those.
Tell us about, I expect we know what the answer is, but Julia Louis-Dreyfus, please tell me she's as awesome to work with as it seems like she would be.
She absolutely is, with all sincerity.
Because she could be a dick at her level.
She absolutely could be. I mean,
she's won an Emmy for three different series as the best comedy actor.
And she's been doing it for so long and at such a high level, and she now has more Emmy nominations and wins than Lucille Ball. Like,
wow.
I mean, like, sort of like legendary status when it comes to Julia, but she is so incredibly cool to work with. And personally, she's just rad. And I don't think that it's a mistake that she's been this successful for this long, because she works so incredibly hard. Like, first one out, or first one in, last one out.
And she's another one who just makes it seem so easy. When she was doing, when she was shaking the hands on the way into her speech, when she was coming in, when she was announced as president, just the little things, little moments and bits that she was doing, when you watch her work, it just is seamless. You can never catch her act.
Yeah, I can't even hear myself talking.
I'm looking at you, but I'm shaking
someone else's
hand. It's the strangest feeling.
Now, you said it's super realistic for people in politics. Her character, though, please, God, tell me it's not not an accurate portrayal of the vice president.
I don't think it's an accurate portrayal, although I love that Joe Biden has leaned into this.
Have you met Joe Biden?
I mean, like, he's got, like, that crazy Uncle Joe thing, and he, like, leans into it, you know? It's like, I halfway expect him to just buy a Trans Am and show up. I think that even though it's not applicable to the vice president currently, there is that thing of just, like, All those characteristics that she has, like selfishness and self-centeredness, and like that, I love the relationship with her and her daughter, like the sort of the jealousy, the jealousy of her own daughter, and just essentially using her as a prop, and then being mad when the daughter gets mad that she's being used as a prop. Like, I feel like all that stuff is absolutely like a 1-to-1 ratio. That's accurate.
For most politicians, I would assume.
Yeah.
Do you have to sort of have that mindset, I think, to get into that line of work?
Yeah.
When you talk about politics, you get a lot of hate from both sides. Mm-hmm. Do you guys get – how come you're so, you know, conservative? How come you're so
– Yeah, do you get accused of any partisanship?
Me personally?
No, just on the show.
I definitely get accused of partisanship. No, the show doesn't, and I think that they've wanted from very early on in the process, they wanted to make sure that it wasn't – we're making fun of the right or we're making fun of the left. They just like, we're going to make fun of all of you. And this is something that has happened. And Republican or Democrat, whenever we meet a politician, they always think they're making fun of everybody else but them.
Is that right?
That is 100%
true. We love how you take on those guys.
Yeah, we love how you take on those guys. Those guys are really messing this up.
That's great.
And I feel like even if you go back through and look at like this, like the sort of minutia of the policies that we've talked about, like you wouldn't really be able to tell. They're all sort of balanced enough.
She doesn't care about any of it.
She doesn't care. Yeah.
That's maybe
the unique thing is that she literally just is trying to stay above water. That's all.
I think she wants to help poor single mothers just because it would make her look better to help poor single mothers.
Yes. Like whenever we've talked about even like bigger issues like gun control or abortion or anything like that, it all just comes down to how does this affect me?
Right.
Tell me what's polling and I'll do that.
Let's mention real quickly, because he's a friend of the show and one of our favorites, you're working with Patton Oswalt this season, and he's already grabbed your balls, which was spectacular. Yeah.
That was pretty sweet. And for lingering quite a long time.
Yep.
And did you keep asking him to do that scene over and over and over again, Tim?
You know what? You need to get things right.
Yes, you do.
You need to get, and if I have to keep this entire crew here another 8 hours, we are going to get this scene right.
I'm a pro, damn it. Yeah. But the energy and the chemistry between you guys is already terrific. I'm sure that we'll see more of that this season.
There is a bunch more of that to come. Patton was one of the first guys I remember, first season, he had gotten a hold of some screeners and on your show mentioned how he had seen it and how much he was looking forward to it. And so to kind of have that come around where all of a sudden I get to play scenes opposite him has been pretty great. And then you have to have this conversation where you're like, how do you navigate some, you know, you're such a, I'm such a fan of his, and then you have to tell him how to navigate your genitals.
Yeah.
On work.
Did you find yourself saying, let go of my balls now?
Yeah. They, Patton, they called cut.
Yeah.
They called cut.
A little bit to the left. Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, stay on target.
All right. Guys, we're out of time.
No!
I know. I know. Hey, please say hello to your beautiful wife, Annie, for us, by the way, Tim.
I will, absolutely.
She's the one who wouldn't let you come to April Fool's this year or something. I heard some story about that.
No, I was out of town.
He was working.
I was out of town. Don't make my wife a harpy.
Okay, all right.
No, I was out of town working, but thank you guys. You guys were very generous in donating some tickets to the Christmas show and to April Foolishness, and it helped out her school immensely with fundraising-wise.
So oh, we're happy to help. We're happy to help. And I know you came back from filming a movie here recently. I hope we get a chance to see you again. You come in maybe when that's coming out. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's called Michelle Darnell. Whenever that comes out, I will be here.
How's all right. Next week?
Perfect. All right.
Veep airs Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. I don't think we can say any more than we already have. It might be the best show on television, so you should be watching it. Otherwise, you're a big fat loser. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Comedian Whitney Cummings joins us in studio coming up right after 9 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, you guys are star-studded today.
Really are.
Tell you, putting you guys in the Hall of Fame, people start showing up to do your show.
It's crazy,
it's
right?
Good stuff. Good press. Speaking of press, I am not one to be slavishly devoted to the opinions of film critics.
Right.
I tend to like to make up my own mind. But I was so enamored and amused by the new Variety review of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 that I wanted to bring in just the opening salvo, just the first sentence.
It is part of your love for this, for reading this quote, my actually talking about going and seeing
no,
this movie?
No, your interest and affection for Paul Blart, the Paul Blart franchise, has nothing to do with this, Kevin.
Okay.
Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, film review, Variety newspaper.
Okay.
Nothing aired by WikiLeaks could possibly be more destructive to Sony's reputation than the release of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Oh, my God.
That person's funny.
That person is strong. That's a great opening sentence for a review. That's all I got to say.
And I get that Kevin doesn't care about the critics because, as you so often said, Kevin, if they don't like the same kinds of movies you like, then their opinions are worthless to you.
Yes.
But when you go to Rotten Tomatoes, for instance, which, you know, is a place where they put all the reviews of a movie, And this Paul Blart movie, is it zero?
No.
Doesn't that
is
say
it still
to you,
at zero?
Oh, it's at zero this morning. Yes. Doesn't that say to you that if they can't find even one critic who likes this kind of movie, that maybe it's a terrible movie?
I mean, I do put about 5% more weight on Rotten Tomatoes because it's an average of everybody. But my sweet spot is like 17 to 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So really, it's not that far outside of your comfort
not
zone.
Really.
It's zero, really.
Not really.
It's only 17% less good than the average movie you would watch.
Well,
so when you think of it that way, it's still 83% as good as most of the movies that you watch.
But see, here is when the problem comes up, is when Furious 7 is still in, and I've seen it, but it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think, well, now I don't know, Rotten Tomatoes. Now it starts to, you know, taint my view a little bit. Just a little bit. Like, maybe I should see Furious 7 again instead.
Maybe so.
Yes. I'm looking forward to your review of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Quite frankly, because if you don't go, who will?
That's a good point.
If not now, when? That's if not right. You, whom?
That's right.
If not, why?
John F. Kennedy said that, didn't
he? I believe he did, yes. Speaking of movies, yesterday was a big day for all Star Wars fans. First of all, it was a kickoff of Star Wars Celebration down there in Anaheim. But also, we got to see the first sort of extended trailer for The Force Awakens, Star Wars 7. And, boy, a lot of excitement. And I'm a fan of the franchise, especially, of course, the first three films, which are the last three films.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6.
Depending on how you look at it. And to see these characters return to the screen, to see our favorite actors take those roles up once again, was an exciting moment for a lot of us. I didn't cry like some people. There are some people on this show who cried at this trailer. But I thought we'd touch base a little bit. Give me that Mark Hamill magic.
The Force is strong in my family.
Mm-hmm.
My father has it.
Has it?
Now, what are you getting out of has
my
it?
My father has
he's not dead?
It.
So he's not dead?
Look, I think, as Yoda said, the Force is all around us. The Force is the thing that binds us. I think that maybe Luke
You're getting choked up. I get it.
He's not getting choked up.
That or I need a tracheotomy. I believe Luke is still in touch with those who live within the Force. I believe that he probably has regular conversations with Obi-Wan and Yoda and his father. I believe they are still in some form present with him. You have to remember.
Remember
when Obi-Wan was struck down in 4 in A New Hope and he was struck down by Darth Vader, there was no body there. It was just the cloak.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's true.
The body goes someplace else when the Force is strong with you, and I think as it is with the Skywalkers.
I have it. My sister has it. You have that power, too.
Now, who's he talking to there?
Paul Blart.
Paul Blart, Jedi Cop 3. Going to add him to the franchise. Going to be a big crossover. And then, of course, the moment everyone's talking about, because you don't get to see Hamill. You just hear his voiceover in that sequence.
See his robot hand.
See his robot hand. But at the... by the way, in 3, they put a flesh glove on that hand.
They did.
They did.
In this now, it's all mechanical. He's all mechanical now.
I got some explaining to do,
where's
man.
The flesh glove? Where's the fleshlight, more importantly? But secondly, where's the flesh glove?
It's different.
And put that on there. The fleshlight, I mean. And then at the end, we got to visit with two more old friends.
Chewie, we're home.
Those are the lyrics.
I don't think that has lyrics.
That's our producer.
I didn't know
King
that
Mexico gargling in the other room.
I didn't know if that was it or if Bean was trying it.
Put the Listerine down, Dave.
That was Dave. Allie, how you doing by hearing that Harrison Ford clip again?
It will get me every time.
Oh, you're a mess.
You are a baby.
You're a little mental.
No, here's the thing, you guys.
Here's the thing.
I think a lot of people... all right, baby! Get the baby. I think a lot of people that saw this teaser that maybe weren't believing in this movie, thinking, oh, Disney, it's just not going to work. It's not going to be. Watch this trailer, and every fear, every concern squelched.
Yeah, that is true. This gives you enormous hope that the franchise is in good hands with J.J. Abrams, that he's going to bring back the feeling, the emotion, the affection that we all had for 4, 5, and 6 is going to be returning with these after sort of a bad taste in our mouths from the first 3.
Chewie.
You know what else was awesome around?
Han Solo and Chewbacca!
You're right, those are the lyrics.
Those are the lyrics, I told you. It's weird.
What else was awesome is, of course, there's CGI in this movie, but in the trailer, wasn't a ton of it. It didn't look like a Transformers trailer where you could tell nothing on the screen is real. You're actually watching real stuff happening.
In fact, on the stage of Star Wars Celebration yesterday, they brought out the BB-8, the new beloved little robot that's going to take everyone's heart by storm.
And he's real, too, right?
He's real. They brought him on stage. Yeah. He moved around. He did his thing. He jumped through some hoops.
Did he jump through hoops?
He did. That's flaming hoops. There were flaming hoops on stage. He jumped through some hoops.
So
we've come a long way since Jar Jar Binks, is, I guess, what we're saying.
Did you watch the live feed of Star Trek, Star Wars Celebration?
I did.
I had no idea what a nerd you were. And that's me calling somebody a nerd.
It's hurtful.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rooney Mara is 30 years old today. Victoria Beckham turns 41. Jennifer Garner is 43 years old today. Maynard James Keenan celebrates his 51st birthday. Sean Bean, 56 years old. And Rowdy Roddy Piper, They Live. You ever seen They Live? One of the great films of all time.
I don't think I have.
He stars in that, and he's terrific. It's about he has special glasses, and he can see aliens.
I don't have time for that.
Kevin, it's your kind of movie.
I have Paul Blart.
That's true. What am I thinking? You got no time for They Live when you have Paul Blart 2 to catch.
What are you talking about?
Roddy Piper is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We don't always have sex with you guys because we, like, want that. No. No. Sex with a guy, it's because it burns calories. And when girls are alone and no guys are around, we look like sea creatures. Okay, it looks like a pirate ship crashed into my house. Okay, we all got dreadlocks, we're wearing slankets around, pajama jeans, all our leg hair is just in cornrows. We have our hanging out. What are those? Are those Crocs?
God, white people are so embarrassing.
Please welcome Whitney Cummings.
She is sexy and she knows it. Whitney Cummings on stage at the Ontario Improv for 5 big shows this weekend. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday. Hey, Whitney, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, boo.
I got to tell you, today is going to be a red letter day in the history of K-Rock. Whitney has already done, she said one word on the air, she's already done one of the most awesome things that a guest has ever done. And that is she came into the radio station, she filled up producer Dave's office with pit bulls, and then left.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's a strong move.
That's pretty strong.
I don't mess around. It's a power move. Yeah.
I'd like to picture Dave on the floor right now, begging for his life.
I just want everyone to know who's boss.
She unleashed like 30 pit bulls into his office and then said, all right, see you guys,
right.
Bye.
Peace. And then I just threw a piece of steak around his neck. I was like, bye.
Your dogs are so cute.
They're
and
ridiculous.
So sweet. Now, what's this deal? Are we adopting pound dogs? What are we doing?
I just want to stay single forever.
Uh-huh, okay. Good.
I guess I don't want a man to ever be enticed by me, so I'm just trying to surround myself with pit bulls.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. It's funny. One of them I rescued like 2 years ago when I got out of a breakup and I needed to like desperately cling to something that like needed me.
Right.
And dogs are great because people are like, my dog loves me. It's like, well, because you feed it, dummy. It's not that complicated. And then like 2 weeks ago, I got an Instagram direct message. Nothing good's ever come out of that.
No.
But I got an Instagram. I don't know. I get an Instagram direct message. I'm like, this is going to be a man's
right,
package.
Of course. Sure.
And
as
so I opened it as quickly as possible. And it was some guy in Carson who said that someone threw a dog out of a truck and he had been trying to catch it for like a week and couldn't catch it. And I was like, well, this is easier than Tinder. I could just head out to Carson and meet this guy who likes dogs. Perfect. And so he was like, I finally caught it. I'm going to take it to a shelter. I was like, no, let me just come get it. And then I came and got him. And then I just sort of fell in love with
him.
So
now you have two.
Now
so
I have
two. On your way toward 30.
Of fostering the dog and then you fall in love and that dog is not going anywhere.
It's, you know what? I've fostered a couple dogs. This is, no, I think right away when I saw him, I was like, oh, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
And he's a part pit, part Great Dane.
Wow.
So he's going to be.
He's a compact, easy to travel with
he's
dog, then.
He's a human being. Yeah, exactly. And the guy was like, oh, he's probably like 4 or 5 months because you saw him. He's 30-something pounds. And then I took him to the vet and they're like, oh, he's 2 months. And he's now 40 pounds at 2 months.
That dog is going to be a horse.
So I'm just going to not feed him, I think. I'm just going to see if I could just starve him.
Probably a good plan.
Now, are you going to be, because I have to ask because you brought him here for this interview and it's only 20 minutes, are you going to be one of those people who can't go anywhere without taking your dogs with her?
Yeah, it used to be I couldn't go anywhere without Xanax, but now dogs have moved up. But he's only 2 months old, so he can't be left alone or he'll pee. So I just rather him pee in my car, I guess.
And in our office.
And in your office. Yeah, I just bring him around the city to pee in people's...
Whitney, we did Kevin Meets April Foolishness a couple of weekends ago, mm-hmm. and Eliza Schlesinger was on the bill.
Yeah.
And she takes Blanche everywhere. And
right.
I think she's crazy. I think she's actually crazy. Like, I think she thinks she's married to that dog. Kevin, are we lying if I say that we saw her making out with that dog?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was a lot of tongue involved.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, look, female comedians, it's not easy. It's a lonely life. And guys are not super. I mean, here's what I noticed, I think, in the last couple of years is that guys are weird about loud. Guys don't like powerful women. It's mm-hmm. not. It's like, it's not. And I don't mean it's. I think you guys think you do. It's confusing.
No,
like,
they all say they do. I want an independent, funny,
no, you don't.
Smart
I've
woman.
Seen
no.
porn. You want Asian schoolgirls.
Yes.
You don't want women great. With jobs. Great. And guys don't watch porn like, yeah, get that promotion, girl. Yeah. Climb the corporate ladder. No, it's like candy stripers. And
you're
I mean,
a sexy secretary
no.
now, but one day you'll be the boss.
Secretary? Yes. No. It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to elevate. Lean in. That's not it. So I think that what happens is you sort of end up starting to have to wait for a guy who really can, you know, wants to take it on. But, yeah, you guys do say you want it. I'm thinking mm-hmm. about it. Like every time I ask a guy what they look for in a girl, they'll be like, I just want a girl who can carry on a conversation. It's like, have you ever met a girl who can't carry on a conversation?
Yeah,
what
true.
Are you talking? It's like the only thing we're good at. I hear that. And then the other thing I hear is when I ask a guy, which is, this is a total lie, is when I ask a guy what they think is sexy about a woman, guys will be like, you know what, sexy confidence is sexy.
No.
Like, really? If all of a sudden women woke up tomorrow morning and were confident, that would be your worst nightmare.
Yes.
We would never talk to you. We'd all be lesbians.
I
and tongue-kissing our dogs.
I know that you exaggerate a great deal for comic effect because that's what you do because you're a professional comedian. But I'm stunned that you are as single as you claim to be. You must get asked out a lot. Just being, forget being a celebrity, forget being, you know, famous and wealthy. I would imagine you get asked out a lot just from being young and pretty.
I am not wealthy. Thank you. My family are all derelicts, so I have been. I'm bleeding money. I have nothing left. Look at me.
So if someone's coming after you because they think they've hit the jackpot.
No. I am not the one to gold dig. Yeah, keep moving. All I do is spend money on drug addicts and dog food.
Unless they're a drug addict. Yeah, if you're
a drug addict, come on down.
You are in luck.
But don't you just, I mean, maybe you don't want to go out with them, but don't fans ask you out all the time?
No, I'm not. I mean, if you see a girl on stage talking about all of her dating proclivities and foibles, the first thing you're not like, I got to date her.
Aren't jumping into that situation?
No, I don't get asked out a lot. And I'm not trying to be like, woe is me. I mean,
Do you remember the last time you were asked out? Has it been recent? How long ago?
I had a black guy in Whole Foods ask me out.
Yes.
Around the cheese. He was like, girl, you are wearing those pants.
All right. Good. And well, he's got a job. We know that about him.
Well, no, he
so
didn't
far,
know,
I like him.
He doesn't work at Whole Foods.
He was another customer. Okay.
So we don't know if he bought anything. He didn't have a basket. But he did. He was like, you are wearing those pants. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. And then he was like, I just want you to know that you are beautiful. And I just want you to know I noticed. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, what's your name? And I was like, I'm going to get my couscous and get out of here. But that was an attempt.
Now,
I mean,
did you get the feeling that he had no idea who you were? Because that must be confusing at times.
I think so. Yeah. I think he did not.
All right.
I never know. I always assume nobody knows who I am. I have such low self-esteem. But it's weird because black women always, I feel like, know who I am because I think I'm an honorary black woman because of my personality.
And you're loud. Yeah.
Yeah, and the amount of dogs that I roll deep with.
Right.
And but yeah, no, I don't think he knew who I was.
All right. Well, that's good.
Which I never know, which is more of a compliment.
Well, I think it's more of a compliment that he doesn't know who
you
are.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't gold digging in Whole Foods. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have to tell him, hey, I got no gold.
Yeah. If he's in Whole Foods, he's doing fine financially. All right. I mean, you don't go to Whole Foods unless you got some money in the bank. So I can't get out of there under $400.
That's where to meet men then, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great point. Good point.
Or women. Right.
Or women.
I've heard you talk, Whitney. This is the voice of Whitney Cummings here on the Kevin Meach Show, Ontario Improv, 5 big shows this week. And I've heard you talk before about how your friends have set you up on blind dates before.
Right,
do you feel like you're at a disadvantage going into those knowing that they've already Googled you up and down
the
internet?
That's so funny. Yeah, the first thing about blind dates I realize is that when someone tries to set you up on a blind date, it means they like the person and they're in a bad marriage and wish they could be on a date with that person.
Oh, like, you know, they're not thinking about you at all?
No. Well, you know when someone's like, you got to meet this guy. It's like, well, why aren't you dating him, first of all? Or they're married and they're like, you got to meet this guy. And it's like, oh, you just want to have a weird extramarital affair with this person. And then, Google is tricky, especially since my last name is Cummings.
Well, that doesn't help.
A lot of other weird. If you really start looking to page 50, a lot of weird porn is going to come up. Which is
and then
probably
they're
a bonus.
Kind of disappointed when it's you.
I know, exactly. Then I'd like make jokes. They're like, ugh, what a letdown. But yeah, it is a bummer that they could see everyone that you dated and then they have to pretend that they don't know and then you were like in a bad acting scene, you know? They're like, so what have you been up to? And
it's like, not that you're complaining, but it does seem like that's complex.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's complex, and I think that it's one of those things where I don't want to be presumptuous and be like, so you know everything about me. Let's just cut to the chase.
Yeah, because then if it goes, I don't know anything about it.
People are like, no, I don't. You're a narcissist. So it is a tricky thing. And
Whitney, would it make sense for you to date another comedian?
You know what? I've never dated a comedian. I don't know if that's by choice.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a rule or not?
I've had a couple comedians try to have sex with me in cars. Randomly.
What's the first step, though?
I don't think that's dating. I'm sorry.
Technically.
But to me, comedians, like, instantly are like brothers. Like, they get platonic right away. Like, I've never been sexually attracted to a comedian. I think it's just because it's like, you're like family. And it's also, you don't want to bleep where you eat. It's like, I see them every night.
Yeah,
so it's
that's
like,
not ideal.
If it ends badly, which I will. I don't want to have to see them every night. So maybe it's like a Darwinian survival instinct.
Ontario Improv, 5 shows this weekend. Twice tonight, twice Saturday night, and then on Sunday night. You're putting a new act together?
New hour. I'm shooting an HBO special in August, so I'm working on this whole new hour. It's all brand new material. Please come. Screw Coachella. I'm going to have to sit in Coachella traffic for 4 hours to do these jokes.
All the cool kids went to Coachella last weekend. You'll be fine,
Whitney. Doesn't the world ever run out of Molly? I mean, How much drugs do you have?
Tickets are available now at improv.com to see Whitney Cummings. A quick break. We'll be back with more right after this on K-Rock.
I don't like that the girls are kind of whispering to each other. I feel like
I feel like they're plotting.
They are. Like it's so much. It's collusion.
I feel like it's bad news when girls start talking and the guys can't hear. We got to keep an eye on things here.
What exactly are they plotting?
I don't know,
we're
man.
We're talking about science and math. Is what we're doing.
I thought you were going to say Scientology.
Hey, that's the voice of Whitney Cummings here on the Kevin DeBean Show. She is playing at the Ontario Improv this weekend. You'll just drive out there today, then stay all weekend. You're not going to go back and forth, are
honestly,
you?
I know there's going to be a lot of traffic of people driving to my show. So
I like how you changed that up from last time.
Not Coachella. Yeah, not Coachella traffic. But yeah, they told me to leave at 5:45.
And what time's your first show?
I think it's 7:30.
Oh, that's late.
That's kind of late. Yeah. So does anyone want to perform the show for me? Because I'm not going to make – no, yeah, so maybe I guess I'll leave a little bit earlier. But, yeah, it's two shows tonight, two tomorrow, one Sunday. I'm driving out there from the Valley so you guys can get your – selves together.
Exactly. Do the math.
Yes.
Whitney, I don't know if you've seen it yet. We're going to have Kevin Pollak on here in a week or so.
Wow.
He's got that new documentary out called Misery Loves... What's it called, Kevin?
Comedy.
Misery Loves Comedy?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Misery Loves Comedy? Mm-hmm. That's
funny. And he interviews, I don't know,
I
think you're in that, too.
I think you're in it, too.
Okay.
And
it's funny that you don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I have an avatar that sometimes I send, like a hologram.
Yeah.
When I don't want to get out of bed.
I mean, they came to you probably and spent 20 minutes with you a year ago. So sometimes you don't know what happens with stuff like that. But anyway, the only reason I bring that up is because I did not see a thread through all the people that he talked to that indicated that most or even all of them were miserable. What do you think about the people who go into comedy for a living?
I mean, I think it's kind of a chicken and egg thing because it's like, even if you don't go into it because you're miserable, once you're in it, you will get miserable because for the first couple years, I mean, you're really hustling and really struggling and it's really hard and you suck and you fail. I mean, even when you're great, you fail, you know, like you'll bomb at every level. Come see me at Ontario. Bomb tonight. You know, because you're always back to one after you do a special and you start over with new material. You're always like an open micer again. You know, whenever I have new material, I have that same pit in my stomach.
So because you have new material now for tonight, you feel like you're starting from scratch?
Well, it feels like I know how to be a comedian. I know how to make things funny, but there's still this thing of, oh my God, what if this isn't funny? It's never like you're done. You're never like an athlete where all of a sudden like you can dunk and it's like there's always a new trick to have to master.
Is there more pressure because of your success?
Then people are like, I paid money to come see you and you had your own show and you better be funny. I mean, for the most part, if you're coming out, you get it and you're kind of hopefully on my side a little bit. But I mean, it's I definitely think there is something to if you are signing up to make strangers like you for a living at night when everyone else there's an invisible wound there. There's something if you need that, there is something off. But then again, there's a lot of people messed up. I've met drug addicts who are doctors. I've met there are people miserable in every field. And
of course, yeah.
So surgeons, they cut into people for a living. There's something weird about the person who decides to cut into people for a living, too, you know.
And I guess what's interesting about maybe the surgeons as well, but like you can write a joke and you can know because you're a comedian, you can know that that joke is funny. But you can't really know until you say it on stage. Like you do have to put it out there, right?
You can do it 50 times and the 52nd time it doesn't do well. And you're like, what? You know, I always say something has to kill 100 times before you can decide that it's funny. Yeah,
it's a crazy amount of work to put
because,
into it.
But it's also tricky because it's like, you know, and this is what you guys will see this weekend. When I'm doing a lot of shows is that like if you put something after a certain joke, it does better. And then if you move it to the end, it doesn't do as well. Or if you open with it, all of a sudden it's not as funny. I mean, there's a lot of like...
Sounds like you're tinkering with stuff all the time.
Yes, always. There's a lot of math that goes into it. So sometimes I'll do a bit and it kills and then I'll do it again. I'll open with it and then all of a sudden it's not killing. And I'm like, that's, you know, you have to kind of figure out the story you're telling and why it was funny the first time.
Did it take you a long time, Whitney, to find the kind of comedy that worked for you? Because when you start out, you don't know what kind of comedian you're going to be, and there are so many different kinds of comedians that I just wondered if you at one point told a certain kind of joke or a different type of story than you do now.
Sure. In the beginning, I had no idea who I was, so I think it's like you become a good comedian when you know who you are and you know what your actual opinions are.
How long did that take?
Years.
Seven years
to where I even started to know, like, these are not just jokes I'm saying, these are things I believe, and I'm telling the truth, and I'm like,
are you a slow learner?
I'm a very slow learner.
That's a long time.
Hooked on phonics. Because in the beginning, you're just trying, and then when you first start, you're just trying to make comedians laugh. You're just trying to make the comics in the back of the room laugh. Like, Dave Attell's here, I just want to make him laugh. So I'm going to do hooker jokes and whatever. And then you're, you know, on the road and you're like, okay, I'm going to just try to make, please everybody. I'm going to do a couple jokes on airplanes, a couple JetBlue jokes, a couple airport security jokes. I'm going to do some politics jokes, some religion jokes. You're just trying to make everybody laugh. You don't know who you
are, you know, and that doesn't work because it feels false and it's inauthentic. And then I kind of started figuring out, okay, sex and relationships, that's sort of where I, you know, they say like you should just talk about the things that really piss you off.
Right.
And those were the things that I was struggling with. And so once I had a couple key moments that broke me as a comedian. One of them, I you know, I had good jokes. Like this was like 5 years in. I had good jokes. I could get laughs, but I wasn't really being vulnerable on stage, mm-hmm. to your point. And I got cheated on. And I found I was walking to the Comedy Store at midnight, and the guy that I was dating, I was wearing his jacket, and I reached into the pockets, and there were condoms in his pocket. And I realized in that moment I was being cheated on, and I lost my mind, but I had to go on stage in like 10 minutes. And instead of doing my well-crafted joke, brilliant jokes, I went on and I just broke open, and I got the kind of laughs that I'd never gotten before. Like people clapping and like those gut laughs. And I was like, oh.
And you said, oh, wow, that's, I need to do that.
I need to tell the truth and I need to really reveal the most painful things, whatever.
So that meant when you confronted your boyfriend afterwards, you couldn't really be that mad at him.
I didn't confront him. We stayed together for a long time. After
oh,
that.
Good.
Yeah. I figured out how to be on stage. I didn't figure out how to live off stage. I only figured out things on stage. But yeah, that was a rough night.
How do you feel when you get off stage after a night?
I feel usually thrilled and super grateful. That's the dorky answer because I'm so grateful to do it.
Can you go to sleep or are you a little hyped?
Yeah, adrenaline? For me, it's the opposite. Like, I feel calm afterwards because I'm like, okay, this worked. This is what I need to work on. Like, I feel like I have a game plan.
You have more answers than you did before.
Yes, exactly. Like, before, that's such a great way to put it. Before I go on stage, I have a bunch of questions and then I come off and I have a bunch of answers. You know, I'll listen to the setback if I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't feel like I want to go out and get in a bar fight. You know, I'm not one of those. I don't really drink on stage. A lot of comics go out and party. I'm like, it feels like my workday's done and I'm ready to go.
I'd like to see you in a bar fight if I
can
just put
you know
in
what?
A word for
that. I actually do want to know this weird other business I'm working on.
Please.
I want to
cutabitch.com.
.org.
Oh, sorry. Right.
I want to start a Tinder for bar fights. So if you want to get in a bar fight, you can look on this app and know where the nearest bar fight is if you want to go get.
Are there people out there who just
yes,
want to hit somebody?
I know all these people that are just like aggro comedians and people who just want to get in fights. And
so
I'm like,
swipe right if you feel like you could kick this guy's ass.
Like, yeah, exactly. Look, this guy looks like he's my size. He's my weight. I feel like I could take him. He's a Barney's Beanery. I'm at the Comedy Store. It's like Grindr for bar fights.
You work on that and get back to us.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll see. I'll work on it on the 5-hour drive to Ontario.
I think that's an outstanding idea. All
I'm
right.
Into
I'm very sad to say that we're out of time, but I want to mention, in addition to Whitney Cummings at the Ontario Improv this weekend, please go see her. You'll have such a good time at improv.com. Tickets are on sale now. I also want to mention that next month you're going to be playing The Venetian. You're part of a Las Vegas show that's called Lipstick.
Yeah.
And that's you and a bunch of other comedians all on the same bill, right?
So a bunch of female comedians are doing a different female comedian every weekend. I'm there that weekend. And it's a blast. It's like basically, if you want to see women in Vegas performing with their clothes on.
Well, you know how to not sell a ticket.
I know. So basically, U-turn. But yeah, no, I get desperate halfway through and I'll show some
a little boob,
something. A little neck.
So improv.com this weekend in Ontario and then in Las Vegas the weekend of May 22nd. That's at Venetian.com. Whitney, we love you. It's always great to see you.
I love you guys. Thank you for having me. I mean that.
How many survivors after Whitney Cummings and her pit bulls left?
It was just me and I lost a leg.
Mm. You're the only one who got out alive.
Yeah. They were full. Once they ate Dave, they were pretty full.
Yeah.
That's a big deal right there.
Yeah, they start on my leg and like, ugh, I'm so full. Who's got an Alka-Seltzer?
And they're lazy.
The mast?
All right, Ralph is here, time for our final look at the showbiz beat, and then we're going to sing that song that means it's the weekend here on K-Rock. What's going on?
Suge Knight got his bail reduced. The judge in the murder case lowered the amount yesterday from $25 million to a mere $10 million. Suge's lawyer said he's pretty sure his client can come up with the cash. I bet he can. The judge also dropped one of the hit-and-run charges. Not the counts of murder and attempted murder, mind you, but the hit and run. Right after the hearing, Suge had to be taken to the hospital again, blah, 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 blah.
Is he seriously ill, or what's going on with him?
They don't know what's up with him.
He sure faints a lot.
He does have a lot of fainting issues. So, we'll
anyone else like that?
What the?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
You're right?
Yeah,
jeez,
I'm okay.
Just out of nowhere, he just... What the? Bean, you're right?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, come on!
I'm okay.
Oh, this is just, this is sad now. This is ridiculous.
I'm working me like a yo-yo.
It's so bad. Oh, come on, buddy. Just.
I should just stay down.
Maybe
I think
you should. Yeah. That was, come on. That was unexpected. You're still down, but now you're still falling. I don't understand it.
The sound effects were either.
Are you just rolling around on the floor?
Apparently.
Are you flipping? Actor and director Kenneth Branagh, who has now just become a huge motion picture director, just a massive in-demand movie director. First with Thor, and now with Cinderella, where he just crushed it. He has started up his own theater company in the UK. And he has very modestly named it the Kenneth Branagh Theater Company. It's going to set up in London's West End, and they're going to do a ton of high-end hoity-toity theater stuff. Kenneth will star in and direct both himself and Judi Dench in The Winter's Tale, which is opening in November. So if you're a theater geek, get yourself over to the UK. Kenneth Branagh, working hard.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I just want to let everyone know, in a related story, an equally talented person, Kim Kardashian's book, Selfish, her coffee table book of selfies, mm-hmm. that's now available for pre-order, in case you were curious.
Pre-order?
Pre-order, yeah.
No!
It's number one on Amazon's bestseller list.
Jesus, what is wrong with people?
Honestly, I think we overlook she's hot. I think we overlooked that. I do.
No guy's buying that book, Kevin. Nobody's. No guy is buying her book of selfies.
Absolutely right.
It's not happening.
It's all girls?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why would any guy want to look at clothed pictures of Kim Kardashian? In a coffee table book.
I don't have an answer for that.
So then why are we overlooking she's hot? We know she's hot. Who's that appealing to?
I don't know. I think women want to be as hot as she is, and they think somehow buying this book helps them in that direction?
Nope.
By the way,
it makes as much sense as anything
I don't have
else.
The answer, but neither does B. I have suggested this as a phone topic, and I don't think we've done it. I would like to find out who these people are that are keeping this empire afloat. The people who support Kim Kardashian.
I'm with you.
Why? That should be the topic.
Let's find out, because I genuinely am perplexed. And I have been accused of slut-shaming and sexism for my frequent attacks on Kim Kardashian. And what comes to me is, what woman who is a feminist or believes in a meritocracy where women should be treated as equal and appreciated for their talents and their achievements is defending, of all people, Kim Kardashian? How is that the poster child for women who are standing up for other women?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on here. I can see somebody saying, look, she's only famous because of the sex tape, or she's only famous because she's prettier, she's only famous because she's married to Kanye West, or whatever the reason is. But at some point, she has taken that and turned it into an empire. She's able to sell books. She's able to run.
Who has done that?
I assume she's at the head of...
How many selfies do you see of her in the boardroom? Bean? No, seriously, how many selfies do you see of her taking meetings?
You never see her do a selfie working. Absolutely
not. In the marketing, the powwow, when they're all getting together to decide the marketing. Like,
yeah.
She's a brand. She's not a businesswoman. Stop saying she's a businesswoman. It's like saying, congratulations to that can of Coca-Cola for all the Coke you've sold.
Hey, I think that's an extremely legitimate point, Ralph, and that's why I am along with you flummoxed as to her popularity and why she's a role model for so many people who can't wait to get a piece of her.
It's like saying Superman writes great comic books about his adventures. He's great at writing all that and drawing all those comic books that he does. He's the character. He's not the creator.
What do you suppose?
Think it's her mom?
It's her mom, and it's Seacrest's production company, and it's the people who market and create her fragrance, and it's the people who design the clothes that she puts her name on, and it's the people that design the video game that goes on the mobile app that she released. There's a ton of people making a lot of money off of her, but don't tell me she's out there making money.
Allie,
don't say, oh, she's the businesswoman, you must respect her. No!
Allie, you're girl adjacent. Tell me...
I am actually a woman, a real live woman.
If you say so. Well, tell me who the woman is that has pre-ordered the Kim Kardashian book on Amazon.
What's she about?
I can't wrap my head around it because I don't know any woman that would, thankfully. And I don't understand when I see these videos of people at malls lining up, chanting their name. Who are they? what goes on in their lives that they get in a car to go stare at someone that they watch on E! Just live their it blows my mind and it hurts me. As women, let's be better. Please.
Let's talk to Jessica.
She's got the answer.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
What's the upshot? What's the upshot of Kim Kardashian?
Well, I do think they provide a lot of jobs here in L.A. in particular. So you got to think about all the people that edit their show, all the people that are involved in all their licensing and merchandising and all those things. They probably provide about, you know, 1,000 or so jobs just here in the L.A. area.
But we're not asking about the people who choose to work for Kim Kardashian. That makes sense. You need a job, you make money. Of course you're going to go work for her. But what about the people who admire her so much?
I think it's kind of like the Paris Hilton thing where she's got a big international audience and a lot of people aspire to look and be a certain way, especially in over in Europe or in the Middle East. I think there's a huge market there that they're tapping into. So maybe
but you don't look more like her because you buy her book of selfies.
No, no, you're
or
right.
Because you play her shopping app game.
I mean, the only thing
good
I
game.
Would buy this is like a gag gift.
A gag gift.
I like it.
If anybody knows about gagging, it's Kim Kardashian.
Wow.
Thank you, Jessica.
You know what else provides a lot of jobs? War.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, yeah.
I'm not pro that either. Kim Kardashian is war equates.
Porn equals. Star Kim Kardashian.
And people say, oh, you're sledgehammer. I don't even care about the sex tape. That's the most productive thing she's ever done. I'm most proud of her work in that one instance.
Right.
It's everything else that she
should
be
embarrassed
by.
Do something for that.
Exactly. All right. Let's go home, shall we?
Let's go
we'll
home.
Continue that another day.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rooney Mara is 30 years old today. Victoria Beckham, she's 41. Jennifer Chastain, that's the skinny bell.
Slight bell.
Skinny bell.
Best I could do.
Yep. The skinny bell. Jennifer Garner's 43. Maynard is 51 years old today. Sean Bean, very talented actor. He's not on Game of Thrones anymore, I don't believe.
No.
No.
He met an untimely demise.
Yeah, it's a shame for him. 56 years old. And Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Pipe Man.
No one has ever called him the Pipe Man.
I don't think I would ever a nickname. They should. That'd be awesome. All right, I'm going to take on the Pipe Man. The Hulkster was fighting him back in the day. He's 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have Demetrius Johnson in, Mighty Mouse himself, talking UFC 186. And we'll check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ty.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There's a Mexican guy.
Well, don't bogart that joint.
Where's your butt buddy now?
Just pass it around.
Are you scared of poo-poo?
Down on the phone.
I just pass it on down.
Wow. Let's maybe not drop the $50 mics, okay, guys?
I hereby declare this mission over.
You've got the nuclear option. Launch the doomsday device. Game over.
I think I gotta go home.
Yeah, oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you think you gotta go home?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, why don't you go home? And while you're there, why don't you do the world a favor and cut off your and then eat it.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
See you around.